Ladies and gentlemen, let's call this meeting to order. And we have had a we've had the roll call, so we got full participation minus our secretary Barb Doss. And let's see, is anybody willing to volunteer to take notes? So, well, we won't need them right now because the thing is being recorded. So,
Mr. President,
Di.
This is Diane Grave. I'm happy to take notes if you like.
Excellent. And all you don't get, Di, the recording will be available to you, and you can take notes off of it if that will help. Yeah, if you can't keep up with stuff. But thank you so much for stepping up. All right, before we get our state board meeting started, we have a guest on our call, our state call. Patty Tang from the national headquarters is on here, and she wants to talk to us a few minutes about relationship building. And so I told her we were having our state board meeting this weekend. Mm-hmm. She asked, could she participate? And I most graciously accepted. And so here is Patty Tang to give us some info on relationship building. Patty?
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity. And I want to start with one piece of really good news. And you're one of the first groups to hear about it. Right now, we're looking for people to make donations. And especially since those of you that can, I realize that some people are not in a position to do it. But if you can, the Gibney Family Foundation has agreed to match donations up through May 5th, which is Giving Tuesday now. Now, that's an extra announcement. So if you are in a position to help and you were thinking about maybe giving some of that money that you normally spend on the hotel at National Convention, we could sure appreciate it. President Riccobono was just on the Baltimore chapter meeting, and he pointed out that, you know, we are still going to have expenses related to convention. You need to deal with the platform. You got to develop software, et cetera, et cetera. So if you're thinking about doing it, I urge you to do it on or before May 5th. Do not feel obligated if you're not in a position to do it. We do understand that this is unprecedented time. So the thing I came on for, there was relationship building. So we're on a real outreach effort to build relationships. And some of you were on the calls that we did in April. And what I'm looking for at this point is national relationships. So if you were on the call, you know that you should be in touch with everybody you can to try and build relationships in and around this time. It's a great time to get a hold of people. But we're doing the same thing at the national level. So if anybody who's on this call has ideas or has connection to entities that have a national or regional scope. So we don't want to take from a bucket that you could be looking for chapter relationships or affiliate relationships. What we do want to develop from our national organization is the national and regional relationships. So don't pass me on someone that you can develop for your affiliate or chapter. But if you know someone, for example, somebody works for a big accounting firm or a big law firm. I just found out last week that Steve Jacobson is actually connected to M3. Well, that's 3M is a great company to develop. We've actually got a couple people that work pretty heavily with Eli Lilly. That's another great one. It doesn't have to be a corporation. But I'm going to give you my contact info, and I'd really like you to brainstorm and think about connections that you guys have. So maybe you can do an intro email to somebody in a company or an intro email to some other organization that's national or regional that you think we might want to check out and try and build a relationship with. Ron had lots of good suggestions the other day, and I think if you guys start thinking it through, you'll come up with some too. You'd be surprised how much if you start thinking, well, who do I know, and who does my brother know, and who does my church know? And you'd be surprised how many relationships you can come up with. So if you have national or regional ones, I'm at pchang, that's P-C-H-A-N-G, at nfb.org. Or you can reach me at our headquarters number, which is 410-659-9314. My extension is 2422. 2422. That's really what I wanted to say. And I would finally just urge you to do the same thing locally and at the state level. This is a wonderful time to start relationships and to build them. You can get a hold of people. You can offer them help with accessibility. You can just have a call about synergy. So I urge you to do that at the affiliate chapter level too. That's what I have, Ron. Thanks so much for giving me the time.
Okay. Hang on one sec, Patty, before you go.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you to let, I know when we talk about relationship building, it's not about money all the time. Can you expound on that a little bit?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. In fact, when you build relationships, if you make an ask at the first sign of having a relationship, chances are you're either going to get a nominal amount or nothing. That's not what this is about. We build relationships around different all kinds of different areas. I mentioned accessibility. So a good example is I get a contact from Lawson Manufacturing last year. Lawson is a big company, and what they do is they make car parts. This is an opportunity for us to try and build employment, an employment relationship that's around an area that you don't need a college education for. You know, this is something that President Riccobono has said that we really want to develop is employment opportunities for people who don't necessarily have a college degree. So Lawson Manufacturing contacted me about, look at our website. Don't just look at their website. Look at their website. Do what they're asking you to do. But then say, oh, can we have a follow-up call? Because I'd like to talk to you about other things that we could build a relationship around. Education's another one. You know, our Bell program, sometimes the affiliates have been incredibly effective at building based on people volunteering at kids programs. So in fact, that's one of the things that Wells Fargo has been really good at the local level. So volunteering, education, employment, accessibility, anything that you want to build a relationship around, even if that's us reaching out, this is something that I love to see us do at the local affiliate level, reaching out to help, because people often see us as people who need help, and sometimes we do, but I think it's important for people to also see us as people who can provide assistance. So blood drives are a great way to start building relationships, cleanups, etc. Is that what you're looking for, Mom?
Absolutely. And lastly, I want to ask anybody on the call who have any questions for Patty. And Patty, you're welcome to stay on our call. It's not a problem. But if you have to go, I just want to open it up to them real quick. Anybody with any questions?
And the questions are *9 on the phone or I think *Y on the PC.
Christopher Meyer.
Chris.
Hey, Patty. I just wondered, how is fundraising going in the age of COVID? Is that changing up some of your work?
Let me tell you. Yeah, that's a great question. And number one, don't stop asking for fun. Do not do that. Obviously, you want to be careful of the messaging. Like I said, if you're able, you know, we understand this is unprecedented time. But a lot of entities have come forward. Give Me Family Foundation reached out to us about the matching gift. So if you have, you know, this is the time to say, hey, we're providing stuff for blind people we've never done before, or we're expanding services. Newsline is a good way to talk. If you want to talk to people, hey, you know, at the state level, we provide Newsline across the country, but in every state, we have to promote it. Now we've provided Newsline to every state, regardless of whether it is a sponsored state. And we did that mostly because people need COVID information. Now, that's sometimes the only way for a deafblind person to access our information or COVID information that's accessible. It goes right to a braille display. It's also sometimes the only way for people who don't have internet access or don't have the tech skills yet to use the internet to get current information. So messaging is really important, but whatever you do, this is the time to go and ask. And there are companies and entities that are doing well. You get great time to build a relationship with the grocery. Great time to reach out and say, hey, thank you so much for, you know, letting us come in the first hour. We really want you to know that we appreciate it. That thank you and giving somebody an award would be a great way to start a relationship with the grocery. Well, then what happens later? Well, maybe you can work with them on employment. Maybe you can work with them on volunteering. Maybe you can ask them to sponsor your convention or give you in-kind donations for Bell. Start with a thank you. Don't start with an ask. Start with a thank you, and this is a good time to thank people who are doing the right thing. Thank people who have drive-ins that don't discriminate, that let us walk up to them.
Exactly.
Talk to your government people. So yes, Chris, great question. The messaging is different, and I think we make a mistake if we think, oh, the economy is bad, we shouldn't ask. That is a grave mistake right now. Mm-hmm. Long-winded way to say, make the ask.
Good question, though, point. I never thought about it because I thought everybody's hurting.
No, everybody's not hurting. J.P. Morgan Chase has reached out to us. Google has reached out to us. Now, those are national relationships. But I am sure that you have local people who are doing well and who I would be reaching out to, even if it's just to say thank you for doing the right thing. You're not going to ask for money right now if somebody is hurting. But if you've got a local restaurant that's doing a drive-through and they do accommodate us, it'd be great. great time to say, hey, we really appreciate you right now. I wouldn't ask them for money right now, but it'd be a great time to start that relationship.
Excellent. Anybody else, real quick?
Now, I am going to get off because my husband is a frontline nurse, and he's been working day after day after day.
Yeah.
And I would like to go have lunch with him because I haven't seen him for, I don't know, feels like 5 or 6 days. So.
and tell Francisco, yeah. Thank him for his service. I know he's on the front line. Appreciate him a lot.
Well, and if anybody wants to reach out to him, he's been buoyed in his morale by hearing from people who do appreciate what he does. You know, okay. It's hard right now. It's really hard. So
excellent.
Thank you. All right.
Okay, Patty, thank you so much. Okay.
Thank you, Ron. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Right now.
Bye. Thank you.
All right. okay, guys and girls, let's see here. We'll start out with, well, let me ask, at our January 1st board meeting of the year, we had Secretary's report. Barb wasn't there. Did we get notes from you, Di, or who took notes that day? I believe.
And Di did.
Yeah,
I
sent those out to the listserv. I could try to get to them now. I'm using my note taker, so it may take me a minute. If you want to do the treasurer's report, I can bring those up while you're doing that.
All right, let's do it. We're flexible. Pamela? Or I'm sorry, Micah.
Micah.
Pam's
I was gonna say, Pam can
treasurer.
Get the report if she wants.
I'm getting everything mixed up. Y'all kind of favorite, though, but go ahead, Micah.
Okay. So our current balance in the treasury account is $13,224.21. $13,224.21. Since our January meeting, that does include the bill payments to AT&T. We still have the AT&T phone system set up. I'm sure that'll be an item for discussion later, but that is still in our expenses. We had expenses for Washington seminar in the form of three rooms. We also had expenses for ground transportation during that event. We actually did save a little bit of money on the hotel rooms. One of the hotel rooms we got half off for one of the nights because they didn't have hot water. So I took a cold shower for the state. Yeah,
took one for the team.
But we also had a sizable deposit in the amount of $6,548. That was some sponsorships that Gene acquired for the Labor of Love Ball in the state convention in the amount of $6,000, and then the $548 was an overpayment returned to us from the insurance. We also had deposits. We had a donation, and we had dues deposited as well. And then we've had each of the last 3 months, our $35 comes out for a PAC plan, and that gets us to where we are.
All right. Questions, comments from the board?
Move the treasurer's report be accepted as read.
Second.
Who seconded? Tammy.
Tammy Hollingsworth.
Okay. All right. It's been moved and seconded. Any other discussion? Hearing none. All in favor? Board?
Aye.
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 Okay. Thank you. Okay. Good job. All righty.
I think Barb came on the call, but I'm not sure.
Barb Doss?
Yep. I'm here.
Oh, excellent. All right. Good. Are you... I was telling Diane she was going to take notes for you, but I was telling Diane that the call is being recorded. And so if you are in a position to take notes, Barb, you can, or you can wait for the recorded version and get notes off of it, however you want to do it.
I think I'll just listen to the recording because that way I don't have to go what?
Okay. All right. It should be available right after this call. And
awesome.
You can access it. Yeah. All right, and glad to have you back, Barb.
We have
minutes from January's meeting. Di was looking them up, and we're going to go back to that and see if she's ready. Di?
Okay, let's see. I'm still trying to get them here. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Here we are. Okay. I'm sorry.
Take your time. One thing about Zoom, they're not kicking us out anytime soon.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see here. Technology's great when it works.
I did.
I did.
Are you muted?
No.
Because I heard you from here, but I didn't hear you too.
Ron, are you able to hear me?
Okay, here we go. I got him. Okay.
You're on, Corey.
Thank you, Tammy.
Yeah. Yeah, we gotcha. Okay, so for January 2018, there was no secretary support. The treasurer support was accepted. Treasurer said that we had a balance of, looks like, $7,886.23. Washington Seminar had several meetings. Scheduled. Ask that members contact the congressman and make appointments. Continues to do that. Fundraising. Dean Brown reported she suggested a bus trip to the casino. We voted to do envelopes at a restaurant, to leave envelopes at a restaurant. Dean spoke about the, those envelopes were for the purpose of soliciting donations, yes. Mm-hmm. Dean spoke about the labor of love off. There is availability at Primo's on August 28th. We voted to move forward with plans for our Labor of Love Ball on August 28th and to sell tickets for $60 each and two for $100. We voted to plan the casino trip. So we voted to do that. Scholarship requested $2,500. Motion was made that we award $1,500 to the scholarship committee. National says we are not allowed, the scholarship committee, requested that we set aside a separate account for scholarship. And, apparently the national office says we're not allowed to do that. So the motion for the $1,500 allocation carried. Chapter Development reported that, they had a meeting. They are working to support our current chapters and are looking at locations like Lafayette and Muncie for establishing new chapters. The committee meets first Sunday every month via conference call. Establishment of the Lafayette chapter has to be rescheduled. We discuss the establishment of the at-large chapter. Ron explained there are differences between a local chapter and an at-large chapter. We discussed the Fort Wayne chapter. Ron suggested that we attempt to reorganize that chapter. The president of the chapter was directed to work with chapter development. The board will come back and revisit the reorganization at the board meeting in April. Newsline, Lee Martin reported that they were currently working for the growth of Newsline at its, and its drivers, excuse me. Chapters were encouraged to send a new member list in to National, who will send it, we discussed who will send it into, I'm sorry guys, I'm reading from my actual notes here as opposed to what I transcribed later.
That's okay, you're good.
To get new membership coin, let's see, we discussed the distribution of membership coins. Legislation. Spoke about parental rights hearing coming up on Monday, January 27th. It was to be Senate Bill 312. We stressed the importance of voting on all issues. The Bell Program, Blind Enrichment for Literacy and Learning, Ronnie Higdon spoke on Bell. Each member associated must have background check. We discussed this a little bit. Crisis management plan, cell phone policy in place, and kids must be under sleep shade. Medicines must be concealed, must be locked. And deadline for all paperwork is September? Paperwork turned in. Deadline for all paperwork, it looked like, was September 1st. If not, if that's not possible, must be explained to the administration and or funding will be lost. We discussed whether or not it will be more than we can handle. Ron stressed the utmost importance of following through with a job you commit to doing. We voted to table the BELT program for this year and revisit next year. Under old business, there was none. New business, there was some research done on state conventions. Tammy recommended the Embassy Suites North. She offered the possibility of applying for an organizational grant, from the Governor's Planning Council. We weren't sure that this is something that we wanted to do. We decided not to pursue an organizational grant, as it would cut members' resources for applying for those grants. And we voted to go with the Embassy Suite unless we are able to find a better offer. We discussed whether or not we wanted to participate in the Red Box test. We voted to participate as an affiliate. We discussed a STEM program for Indiana. We voted to attend an informational meeting on STEM to see what it involves. And it looks like that's it.
All right, lots of stuff. Okay. let's see.
Move that the secretary report be accepted as read.
Second.
It has been moved by Pam and seconded by
Micah.
That we accept the secretary's report. Any discussion?
Good thing we canceled Bill.
Good thing we canceled Bill. Yeah. Really. We must have been fortune tellers or foreseers. Any other discussion from anybody before we vote? And a lot of times, guys, with this Zoom, if you say your name and give it a few seconds and then start talking, we'll know who's speaking, or if you're going to second a motion or something, I can pretty much catch everybody's voice, but sometimes I miss one. So we'll have it on the record that like Pam was or Michael second, some of that, if you see that. That would be helpful. All right. Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Well, who was that opposed? We had one dissension.
I think they were trying to say they agreed, but it was because we got unmuted.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Di. Thank you for that. Let's see here. So we now will move to the National Convention conversation. The National Convention, as you know, was slated to be held in Houston, Texas this year. However, it has been postponed due to the COVID-19 virus, and we are still having a convention, but it is a virtual convention. I'm sure most people on this call know that already, but for the record, we are having a virtual convention this year. Our convention dates are the same, the 14th of July through the 19th, and we would love to have everybody here from Indiana register and participate in the convention. And the reason why is because registration is free. And the reason why, because we want to have one of the biggest conventions we've ever had. We're looking at numbers over 5,000 people attending this convention via virtual means. If you can, guys, we would love for you to register. Go on our website and hit nfb.org/convention and register for the convention as if you were paying, but you're not. So, and as of last weekend, when we put it out for registration, we had over 500 people register already. So. In just one weekend. So we are looking forward to having a great convention. We're going to be able to bring in all kinds of speakers. We're going to have elections. We're going to have just all kinds of stuff going on with the convention. We are still making our donations to our national convention as we do every year. So at this time, I'm going to open the discussion up as to how much the Indiana affiliate wants to give for the different funds. We have the White Cane Fund, the Tenbrook Fund, We have the Jernigan Fund and the Sun Fund. Some of those we give to for the most part. And so I'm willing to entertain a motion as to how much we want to donate to these funds, keeping in mind that, you know, we don't have much. So having said that, anybody?
Honest, Corey, how much did we give the last time just to get a starting conversation?
Yeah. I believe if I'm not mistaken, and Micah could probably find this, but if I'm not mistaken, I think we gave like $150 to the White Cane, $150 to Tim Brooke, and $150 to the Jernigan Fund, and I believe we gave $100 to Sun. In the past, we've given $200 to each fund and maybe $100 to Sun. But, you know, these are not that the COVID has affected our bank account, because our bank account was low before COVID. So we're doing okay. We've got donations that Jean and her team went out and got. And so we're going to use those for convention and our fundraising means. But so we can donate something, you know, whatever you guys think is fair.
Mr. President, this is Diane.
Di?
For those who may not be aware, would you want to briefly outline the differences between the four funds?
Sure. That'd be fine. Okay, so the White Cane Fund is a fund which was set up it's our general fund. We use that money in the National Federation of the Blind for most things that we do in the organization, like paying lawyers who help fight discrimination cases. We use for paying bills, for most of for travel, for stuff like that. For most of our expenses, we use comes out of the White Cane Fund. It's a general fund for our organization. The Jernigan Fund is basically for people getting new people to our organization and bringing them in to a first-time convention, things of that nature. And so we use the Jernigan Fund for that. The Tenbrook Fund basically is a building fund. It helps to pay for our building. And basically, the Tenbrook Fund is used basically for those purposes. We actually are owned by the Action Fund, which is a fund that the Tenbrook Fund / Action Fund owns our building. In case we ever get sued, they can not take our building from us. And so we use that to help offset costs for our building, and we also use that for investments. Let's see, what else? A Sun Fund. The Sun Fund is basically a fund that is used for endowment purposes. It's our rainy day fund, if you will. And what it is so if we ever have to get in a pinch and have to dip into that fund, we'll have money to do so. Mostly our Sun Fund is for when we get ready to leave this world and we want to leave money to our organization. A lot of bequests going to that fund. Did I say another one? Sun, Tenbrook, Jernigan. That's pretty much it. We used to have an imagination fund, but we don't do that anymore. And we basically, that was used for special projects in the organization. So that's what these three or four funds are for. And so every state affiliate at our national convention donates to these funds. And Indiana has always donated, and so we're going to continue the tradition of giving to help fund our movement.
Mr. President.
Tammy?
Tammy Hollingsworth.
Yeah, Tammy, are you hoarse?
No, I was eating.
Oh, okay. Your voice sounds different.
I didn't get time to. Sorry. I move that we donate $125 to each fund for a total of $500.
All right. Tammy moves. Is there a second?
Pam.
Corey.
Okay. Who was that?
Corey and Pam. That's who it was.
Corey and Pam.
Second. But okay. You can do it, Corey. Go ahead.
Voices blended right. Together. It kind of sounded like a man / woman.
Call for a question.
Pardon me?
Question.
Question, okay.
This is Christopher.
Hey, Chris.
Sorry to do the math here, but I'm just being annoying. 125 for three-way would be 470 for three. Would that be, how would that work out four to? Fun. Oh, I'm sorry. Well,
there are four funds.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry.
it's the White Cane. The Jernigan, the Tenbrook, and Sun.
Yeah.
I understand.
That's four fun. Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay, that's okay. All right, so there's a motion on the floor to give each fund $125. It's been moved and second. Any other discussion from the board? Any discussion from the floor? Okay, hearing none. All in
Mr.
favor?
President.
Okay, who's that, Joe?
Yes. Just one recommendation. When you call for eyes and noes, wait about a minute in between your things so people can respond and you're not thinking people are saying nay.
Yes.
Okay, good deal. Good deal. Thank you. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? All right. That's done. Okay. So we will be given to the national funds. In the national convention. Oh, so the national convention will be a virtual convention, as I said earlier. And also, we do not have the platform chosen for that convention as of yet. I know everybody's thinking it may be this Zoom platform, but it may not be. We are looking into it, and the jury's still out on the convention. So that will be forthcoming as soon as we know, but for sure. But it'll probably be Zoom. We just got to work out some kinks. So all of you all remember that the president had our first live presidential release. Our presidential release went over really well. We had a lot of people on there, between 800 and 900 people, but we had over 1,000 trying to get on. And so we had some people getting kicked off and or wasn't able to get on at all. And so we know that our national convention will be a lot more people than that. And so we want to make sure that we have a platform that is suited to host our convention. So that's why the jury's still out on which platform we're going to use. Questions, comments about the national convention? All of the logistics have not been worked out as to how we're setting up everything, but I can tell you that for the most part, the national board meeting will be virtual. roll call of states will be virtual. Of course, the banquet, of course, our speakers, all of that will be virtual. And one of the things that people are kicking around for us to consider, guys, is that we get together and maybe celebrate the banquet. Somebody, we can order out, cook a good meal. We don't have to. It's not mandatory, but we can all share in the banquet presentation and sup with one another. As long as, you know, if things are still in place with social distancing and no more than 10 people being in a room or something like that, then we might want to think about it. Any other questions or comments about the national convention?
Ron, it's Corey.
Corey.
I just want to let you guys know that I don't know if you guys saw the email, but he is going to do another one on Friday, May 1st,
yes,
for the presidential release.
That is correct. He's going. Our president, of course, he's talking about our president, Rick Abono, is going to do another live presidential release, and it's coming up May 4th in the evening again. And also, you guys, if you want to be on that call, please, please, please try to log on early so that you can. So you can be on the call. And if you want to ask questions of our first vice president, it's going to be fielding questions, and they're going to be our president's going to be answering those questions. If you have any, please write them down and submit them early. And that way you may ensure that your question get asked. Any other comments on the national convention.
Mr. President?
Die.
Yes, Diane. Do you have any information as far as exactly how, I mean, are they just going to commit, cut the convention down to like the general sessions, or will there still be the various division meetings, things like that?
Yeah.
Do you have any information about that at point?
Yeah, we're trying, and again, the actual agenda has not been been laid out in the format that it's going to go. I can tell you that they want to try to keep most parts of the convention intact. So, for example, seminar day. The Parents of Blind Children Nationals will have a meeting, a virtual meeting. The Rehabilitation Professionals will have a virtual meeting. The Merchants Division is having a virtual meeting. those are some off the top of my head. We will have a banquet. We will have a roll call of states. We will have the national board meeting, and we will have the elections as well. I do know those staples will be in place. Now, will we have say like the what's that thing that the lawyers do? Pam, you know what I'm talking about. That thing that the lawyers trial.
The mock trial. Yeah.
I don't think if we're gonna have a mock trial. Not sure about that, but you never know with these guys. Well, we might have one. I don't know. Some of those things probably won't be happening. There may be rooms to hear from our sponsors, and they may have a specific room set up for them and give them an opportunity to speak to our convention because they pay money still to be a part of us. They were even talking about having a room to sell stuff, like fundraisers, you know? So,
cool.
The sky's the limit. They are really trying to reach almost every part of our convention that we can get in virtually. But, I don't know a complete agenda just as of yet, but those things that I named off are staples of the convention and so are foundations, if you will, of our convention. So we will definitely be having those. Any other questions, comments? All right. We're going to move on then from the National Convention if there's no more comments. Let's move now to our state convention. And Tammy, what you got for us?
Well, all right. So we kind of have a tentative plan for our state convention. The plan is that we will be meeting at the Embassy Suites North after the last board meeting. I did do some more research. I did contact the embassy after speaking to Ron to get us connected up with definitely having it there. But we still haven't gotten that confirmed yet because I don't know if they're furloughing their people or what, but they are not responding very much to contact. But we will hopefully get that. The date that we have is October 8th, 9th, and 10th. Sorry, 9th, 10th, 11th. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The 8th is a Thursday if you come in early. The room rates are $130. That sounds a little bit high. I know it's like, but it also includes, you do have tax on top of that. So they are kind of high, but these are the rooms that you can accommodate, really, if you wanted to, up to six people in. They are also the ones where the breakfast is included, the full breakfast in the morning and the manager's reception in the evening. So it isn't the greatest price, but all the other hotels, they might have had lower room rate prices, but their costs for us to rent the rooms were literally in the thousands of dollars. So this was, for us, probably the best option. So just plan early for that. The 9th, 10th, 11th of October, Embassy Suites North, that is the plan. If you are in need of funding to help attend the state convention, you can absolutely access the Governor's Council on Disabilities individual grants. They do have those available. And as long as you have not attended a convention in the state this year, you should be able to access those funds. So if there are, that's all penciled in. If there are any other changes, I will definitely let you know. But that is the plan as of now.
All right. one last comment before I open it up for questions is that, excuse me, our theme for this year's convention will follow National's convention, and that is sharing our 2020 view on blindness. So that's what we're going to go with. And anybody having any topics relating to sharing our view, the National Federation of the Blind's view on blindness, please feel free. That could entail living the life you want. Somebody talking about that, you know, if you have any state convention agenda items, please get them to me or Tammy. We'll make sure that we can see how we can fit it in. Now, are there any other questions about the state convention? I do want to speak to this board a few minutes, and I think it's prudent that we start talking now that if, for whatever reason, that we cannot have our state convention in person, do we want to have a virtual state convention? Board, comments, questions?
Tammy Hollingsworth?
If we do, we're going to have to start contingency plans early. Go, Tammy.
I mean, I think that would be a, you know, possibility. I will hope that by October we will be able to meet in a group of 75 or so. But, you know, I do think that contingency plans are a good idea. And I think our convention is small enough and simple enough that it shouldn't be difficult to transmit it. I guess that's a good move it anyway, from being an actual in-person convention to being a virtual convention. So I think, you know, we just got to keep that. I've already been thinking about that. I'm like, well, what if we have to go virtual? And I think we will be able to, because even the Zoom platform will accommodate what, you know, the number of people that we would probably have. So I think it's possible.
Other comments? Anybody?
I agree. This is Micah. I think we definitely need to have, you know, sort of the nuts and bolts staples like National's doing. We need to have elections. We need to have at least part of our general session. I think we should think about seeing how National goes and deciding if we're really going to do, you know, are we really going to have everybody on a Zoom call all day Friday and all day Saturday and half the day Sunday, or, you know, can we do an abbreviated version of it? And we can make that decision later, but I think it's definitely doable.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay.
Mr. President, this is Tammy.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to kind of address what Micah was saying for just because I think she's got a point. And maybe like if we do a virtual convention, we'll want to rearrange it so that we have opportunities for there to be, you know, the more general sessions as well as the like the divisions and such breaking out kind of in a different way than what we would do it in person, just to give people that break, you know, of not being on the call the whole time. So we'll think about getting creative with getting that organized in a little bit of a different way than what we do in person.
Oh, of course. Also, keeping in mind that we can access different Zoom rooms and have a breakout sessions and things of that nature. Especially nominating committee, you know, password protected, that kind of stuff. So we can figure it out. We just need to know that that's if our contingency plans will do. So here's what I'm willing to do then is to table that and just be thinking about it, guys, till our July meeting. That probably will give us a better barometer at that time of to what we're going to do and how the country is faring. So we'll go from there. Anybody have any problems with that?
Susan
Jones.
Yeah, I had a comment. If we do have to have a virtual convention, then we can really think outside the box for speakers.
Absolutely.
We can get people that we would normally not really want to fly in and put them up. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So that's one thing to think about in the back of our mind.
Yeah. And Susan brings up a good point. You know, a lot of people, when we talk virtual, we talk, you got to be on the phone, computer, and all that all day, all night. But bottom line is, we could probably have one of the biggest conventions we've ever had, simply because we don't have to spend money. You do have to use your computer and phones and whatever. But you can invite everybody to the convention. We may want to consider doing something like Nationals doing, forgiving the registration and just having get all of our friends and other blind folks who ever wanted to know about the Federation in here. And we'd be surprised. We probably have one of the largest conventions we've ever had. That's for the future. Okay, getting back to the here and now. Anybody else got anything on that? All right. Let's see. Thank you, Tammy. So sharing our 2020 view on blindness. Keep that in mind, guys, and we'll go from there. All right. Let's see here. We are now down to, let's see. Oh, let me go back real quick to the national convention and let you guys know that some of us have registered for that convention in Houston, and we paid our money, and I know people were asking, is the hotel going to reimburse us in full? And the answer to that is yes. Some people were trying to get theirs back last week, and the Houston hotel was turning them down, but that's because our national president hadn't signed off on the contract, and so he told us to give them a week or so, and then you can start calling and asking for your refund. So a week or so would be a start next week or so, and possibly May 1st by the time we everything's all said and done. But you just know that you can get your money back in full. They have already agreed to that, the hotel in Houston. So I wanted to let everybody know that. All right. Okay, let's move on now to the committee reports.
Ron, Susan, with a quick comment or question.
Susan.
You had also mentioned that those who have registered for convention will get money back sometime soon, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. You can request your money back for the convention. That's correct. And those who have paid their hotel fees as well. Because registration now is free. We definitely, the National Federation of Blind, give you your money back in full. But the question was about, is the hotel going to do it as well? Because we had to put down a one-night stay, and they're going to do it as well. Corey?
I didn't say anything.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I can.
Left up to you, buddy.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to committee reports, and let's see. Up first is fundraising. Okay, she's unmuting. Star 6.
I got it.
Okay, go.
Hi, guys. For fundraising, there is none. No. Just wanted to say that we are presently not planning on doing, of course, the casino fundraiser because all the casinos are closed. The envelope in a restaurant fundraiser will definitely be put off. I don't even know about having that next year. It might be the year after. It's going to be a while before the restaurants are willing to put envelopes, I think, in their businesses and have their customers giving us money. But I need to have a vote from the board about the Labor of Love Ball. I know that right now we have the distancing, safe distancing going on, but the ball is August 28th. That does not give us a whole lot of time, and I'm thinking that it might need to be postponed until next year, but work on so that we can get the most money that we can and get some really nice auction items and things of that sort. So just want to know what the board thinks about just holding the money that we have right now and just building on that.
All right.
Pam.
I
actually think that's a good idea, only because we need time to do a lot of stuff, to collect a lot of things, and we're not going to be able to do that for a while. So I'd rather do it really well than not do it at all and make it, you know, try to hurry it up. And I'd just rather see us do something nice and have stuff set and then go and try to rush it and get it done, and it puts a lot of pressure on people. So I'm thinking we should postpone it for 1 year.
Okay.
And this is Florence.
hang on a second. Let's see, one at a time. Who was it?
Florence.
Florence. Okay, Florence.
Hi, Florence.
Yes. Hi, how are you? How's everybody?
Good.
I also agree that we should postpone it on one of the reasons being that, you know, we've all been listening to the news and they are actually expecting another wave of COVID-19 during the fall season. So that's another reason why we should consider postponing it as well.
Okay.
Lee. All right. Lee?
Yes, I also agree with the two that we should postpone it. Well, actually, the three with Jean and Pam and Florence. And I was really looking forward to maybe we can look forward to our first virtual ball dance. That's what I was looking forward to. I thought that we could have a virtual.
First virtual ball dance, huh? Okay. So you're going to be dancing on one in your home, Lee, and then somebody else is going to be dancing in theirs.
Yeah, right.
You can ask her for this dance, and, you know, you don't have to worry about social distancing because you won't be up close and personal. I get
or
it.
Him stepping on your foot.
Hey, good.
So we all know Susan Jones loves to cut a rug.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right.
So,
any
so
other
guys,
comments from the board about it?
Corey, I agree.
Corey.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. So what I wanted to say is, you know, it seems that everybody agrees that we should wait on this. If you know, maybe what we can start doing is just as we talked about earlier, well, on the call about building relationships. Maybe we can build some relationships as businesses start to open and start at the beginning of the year, maybe in January or February of 21, and start collecting some items that we can use to raise funds for this event. I think it will definitely be a good one. There were a lot of people that were looking forward to the event, you know, because having it every other year, they were kind of looking forward to it. So hopefully you guys will jump in and start trying to see who's willing to make donations and who's willing to be a sponsor. I think we have a really good event, and if we really work on this, it could be even better every year that we have it.
So is there a motion on the floor to postpone it? Because we did vote to have it.
Pam, I make a motion that we postpone the Labor of Love Ball until next fall.
Is there a second?
I second. Florence.
Florence seconds it. Okay. Is there any other discussion?
We have to. We had to cancel the casino thing, so I'll let you all know what I find out about buses and all that stuff when the casino's open.
Yeah, but is there any other discussion on this motion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Anything else, Jeannie?
Mm-hmm. Oh, there is one thing. I'd kind of share it with Ron, and I know that Nationals is planning on having the virtual sales going on if it does happen. What I kind of thought about us being able to sell is there are these, they're fans, but they are circular and they have like a wire like that goes around the outer edges of it, the diameter of it. And so it's one though that folds. And it kind of folds into place and it goes inside of a little carrying pouch. And when you pull it out, it just pops open and makes this circle. And it's a really cute little fan. And I thought that we could have written on it, keep cool, NFB, live the life you want, on the fans. And that was one of the items that I wanted to have us vote on to take to convention, but since we're not going, I was wondering if if you guys want me to check on that. I know they're not very expensive, but I wanted to check on those and see if you guys would want to sell those.
All right.
Tammy Hollingsworth.
Tammy.
Yes.
I appreciate the thought, Jean. I think it's kind of a cute idea. I do think, though, you know, we're going to be challenged if we try to sell an actual physical item like that, because you got to take into account being able to send it to them and all the hassle that goes along with it. And although I think it's a cute idea, I just think at this point that I would have to say that I think we need to, like, just let that one go.
Just chill. Okay. Okay.
Any other questions?
No, but I agree totally. I think it'd be a nightmare. So
yeah, it might be
mailing. You know,
It might be.
If we were going,
mail them out. Yeah.
If we were going, I think that's a great idea. But the fact that we're not going to be there physically, we'd have to mail all those out.
Maybe we'll put it off. Put it off until we are going.
I think if we were going, it would be fantastic, because you get into some of those rooms and holy cannolis, it can be pretty warm in there. And, and even going out and doing some of the activities, I think a fan is a really cool idea. But I just think it's more of an in-person. It's one of those things people are going to snatch up and go, yeah, I want that.
That's true. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I agree. Okay.
Corey.
Corey.
This may be a possibility. Is it a chance, Ron, that we could transfer it to from national convention to state convention, so that whoever wants to order them can order them, and then Gene can bring them to the state convention, so that drops all the mailings that we have to mail, and they can get them at state convention. Would that be a possibility?
If there was definitely going to be a stake.
Yes, I understand that.
Yeah.
Or if you want one, they can email you, and you could keep a list of who wants them, and then you can order an X amount. Then at the next in-person chapter meeting, you're able to give them to them. So, just an idea.
Corey, I'm amenable to having like a few at our state convention just to see how they would go. I mean, you know, keeping cool in Indiana ain't going to be a problem in October, because we definitely be keeping cool.
We might be keeping
cold.
We might be wearing coats.
Amenable to having a few there and just checking it out. I don't know. We'll see.
Mr. President,
just an idea.
Tammy. I want to get this in before Dean's report gets finished. First of all, I think it's been a crazy year. So thanks for all the work that you've been doing, Gene. I just wanted to share that I keep meaning to text Gene or call her, and I just keep forgetting. So I'm just going to say it here because I just am. So when we were on our last cruise with Pam and others who attended with us, we were talking about that some groups have been doing cruises that are fundraiser cruises. Now, of course, we couldn't do that for any time soon, but the cruise prices right now are kind of crazy, and it's something to look at. And I wanted to volunteer. I've looked, I kind of am all the time looking, and I know it's not Jean's thing. She's not a water human. She doesn't want to get on a cruise, so that's okay. But I wanted to offer my services if the group would want us to look into something like that. You know, if you think it's too soon, too COVID, just let's not think about it right now. I understand that. But I just thought, if anybody wants me to look into it, I wouldn't be looking for anything near now. I'd be looking more like toward next year, or something of that nature. And just to answer questions, it would basically, we would reserve a cruise. I guess they set it up so that it's a fundraiser. So you would actually be going on the cruise and paying a little bit more than what the room actually costs. There's a donation that's given to the organization that sets it up. But the room costs right now are so low. The charge for the cabins, it's just kind of crazy. The perks that we're able to get right now if we want to book a cruise, because the cruise companies are just, they're not able to do what they do. So my guess is that when everything loosens up, the prices are going to raise. So it's something that I could look into if we want us to.
Let me ask before we get too far gone, but let me ask, let me ask the audience here, what do everybody think about that, a cruise? And because not only can you do it for Indiana, but you can do it for the surrounding states. You can offer it. Because that's what Baltimore is doing. Actually, they're still going forward with their cruise, their chapter, not the Nationals, but the chapter of Baltimore. Is going forward with their crew.
Mr. President.
Pam, I think it's a great idea. Tammy and I kind of talked about it when we were on the cruise. And cruises are great for blind people. And like Ron said, we can sell it to everybody all over the USA because it doesn't really matter where you live. You can still go to a cruise. So I think it's an awesome idea.
Mr. President.
Who is that, Corey?
Joe.
Oh, Joe. I'm sorry. Well, I tell you, I didn't say your names. I can't get these voices today.
I'm sorry. I have actually also mentioned this to Tammy because I've seen other states doing it, and I think trying to do it would be a wonderful idea, especially for like February of next year or something like that, while prices are low.
February?
This is Florence.
Florence?
Okay, my question is, Tammy, would you be able to find out what their refund or cancellation policy might be in just in case you run up against?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, usually they have now new cancellation policies related to COVID-19. And so they're right there on their website. But usually what they do is if for any reason the cruise has to be canceled, they either refund you or they give you a credit toward another cruise. And if you want to cancel, it's usually you can cancel with a full refund of whatever deposit you make, as long as you cancel before 90 days before the cruise sails. So I don't know if it's exactly that way now. When I looked the last time, which it's been a month or so since I looked, well, not quite that long, I guess. I can't keep my eyes off of cruises. I really want to go again, but it's been a few weeks. And so I would definitely check that to be sure that we wouldn't, be out anything, because it's on an individual basis. That's the other thing. When you do something like this, you're not spending any money. The people who attend the cruise are actually paying for their cruise individually. It's just set up as a group cruise, and then I don't know how they did it in Baltimore, but I'm assuming they worked it out with the cruise line so that there's whatever a little bit of amount over the cost goes back to the organization.
Yeah,
so I don't know how that worked
Tammy.
Out.
I was going to ask you how do we make money off of it if it's a fundraising cruise?
Well, Joe. The way that you would do it is instead of charging what the cruise line charge, let's say they charge $150. Well, let me think of a better price because that's not accurate.
Yeah.
We'll say $400 per person for an inside cabin. So instead of charging $400, we would charge $450. And once everybody has paid, then the extra $50 per head would go to the organization, is my guess. I'd have to check into it because there's got to be, if the the NFB of Maryland did it, there has to be a way that the cruise line is going to do it. So, we just have to check with them and see how it would work.
Okay.
Joe.
Tammy. Okay, and Joe, real quick. But Tammy also, the president out there who set it up, her name is Ronza Offman. If you can get in touch with her, it'd be great. She can give you all kind of insight. Ronza Offman. Okay. All right, Joe.
All right, two things. Number one is also one of the Carolinas is doing it, too, because I just saw them do it before all this COVID came on. And also to answer Florence's question is I just had to have my cruise refunded because they canceled. I was supposed to leave on May 3rd. Is if they cancel the cruise, you get 100% of your money back. If you cancel your cruise because you're scared, you get 75% of your money back. Also, the airlines are now refunding. They don't refund your money on the airlines. They give you a thing to where you can use
your airline ticket up to mine are good until June 30th of 21. Let me rephrase one other thing, too. The cruise lines is giving you an option to either give you your money, 100% of your money back, or my other option was they offered for me to reschedule my cruise with a $600 voucher to be used on the cruise ship for my next cruise.
All right. Thank you.
Michael.
Just one thing. I'm in favor of this. I think it's great. Jamie, if you could look at cruises that sail from ports that are easy to get to, or by that I mean cheap flights. So you can usually get a pretty cheap flight between here and Baltimore, a pretty cheap flight between here and Orlando. I don't know where else you might be looking, but that might help people too, because Baltimore, it's easy for them to do it because they can just drive over to their port, whereas we would have, our members would have to pay for a flight too.
True. Good point.
In Florence.
Florence.
Well, and also right now, flights are pretty inexpensive.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it sounds like the board, I don't think we need a vote to have her looking into it. Consensus of the board says that they want you to look into it, Tammy. So if you can bring it back to our next board meeting in July, that'd be great.
And Tammy, I'll also check out some of the cruises that I know my cousin sets up cruises.
Sounds good.
Out what she's got too.
All righty. Any other business on fundraising? Any questions for Jane? Corey?
It is Corey. I just had an idea, and we did this for the alumni, but I don't know how we would do this for our state. But could we do some type of telephone auction? I know we raised, I can't remember, $1,300, something like that. But could that be an idea?
Corey, if we have our state convention over Zoom, that's one of the things that I'm going to talk to Ron. I wanted to mention it to him first. But having all of the states still prepare their baskets so that we can have an auction, more like a silent auction of sorts. Okay. If we could have an auction, or because I don't know how, and it might work even doing it as a progressive auction.
To answer Corey's question, Corey, if you're willing to look into it, no, I think that's pretty good. So if you're willing to look into it and find out how it logistically it works and how you guys did it and, you know, bring that back, that would be great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, Ron, I can tell you this. I'm the one that participated, so I have to know. So I'm the one that
you already know how it's set up and how to go with it.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, you want to talk about it now, or you want to talk about it later?
Oh, okay.
Let me talk about it later so I can get more details. But how about in July?
Okay. That sounds like a plan. Anybody else got any ideas on fundraising? All right. Thank you, Jim. You got anything else?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Let's move on now to the committee reports. That was a long one. Let's see here. Let me try to pick something easy. How about scholarships? Di, what you got for us for scholarships, Di?
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. We have 7 final scholarship applicants, individuals who followed through, completed the whole process. We had about double that, about 13 or 14 that started the process and didn't complete it. So we have 7 final applicants, and we have some pretty good candidates. I want to give a shout out to my committee members, Susan Jones and Katie Shelton. They did an excellent job in helping me interview the candidates and putting the letters together. So thank you to both of them. We have some pretty good candidates, as I said, and my understanding is that the scholarship committee is going to be meeting, the national committee, this week to, you know, kind of sort all those out and make their final decision on who our finalists will actually be. And then I think that's pretty much all I have, in case there's, unless there's other information that you would like to know. We, of course, that means we'll have 7 applicants at our state convention, assuming they all come to the state convention.
Mm-hmm.
So I would really like to find a way. I really would like to see the affiliate donate more additional funds towards those scholarships so that we can maybe give out a little more than we normally do. And if we do a virtual convention, I'm definitely going to come back and hit y'all up with some more money. So,
hey, to be forewarned, right, Di?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All
right. Well, so that's what I got for you.
So we look like we might have potential seven coming to our state convention. Let me ask Hollingsworth, Tammy, do we have, are they eligible for the governor's grant?
I believe
as long as they are, yeah, as long as they are blind, they, I mean, you know, have a disability, blind, whatever the disability is, they should be.
Right.
We haven't in the past done that because we usually take the money from the scholarship committee and get the rooms, because here's the thing with those scholarship candidates, and Diane can even speak to this, you don't know until 2 weeks before they're coming that they're coming. They right. can't a lot of times figure it out because they don't know when their college finals are going to be until September. They don't know what, you know, and this year is going to be especially up in the air because we don't even know what the situation this September is going to bring, August, September. So yes, they would be eligible. Absolutely. Can they actually get it? I don't know because of the timeline, the time involvement to get it for them.
Now, I don't know that I'd put that extra burden on them because when you get a grant from the council, I believe, I've never gotten one before, but I believe that you have to make some kind of report to them about what you got out of the convention, what you learned.
Well,
I think that
you,
that's something back.
You don't have to report to them so much as you have to agree to do three basic things. Some of those include might include speaking to a group about what you got out of the convention. You might need to write an article. There are things that you have to follow up with to receive your grant. So, you know, they're eligible. I just think it's a lot for them to have to negotiate.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And usually also, we pay for those expenses. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mr. Joe.
Yeah, also.
Who's that? Lee? For Lee?
Also, I believe with the in-state grant that you would get from the Governor's Planning Council, you'd have to live 50 miles outside the Indianapolis area in order to secure that grant from the Governor's Planning Council. I'm pretty sure of that. Cause
all of them are not from Indy, are they, Di?
No, they're not. Okay. As a matter of fact, I think one of them that I can think of offhand, I think there's only one that's from the Indianapolis area.
Oh, okay. All right, Joe?
One of the things you got to think about too, though, Di, is you're asking for more money. If we can get some of these to Governor's Planning Council, that's less money that the state has to spend on hotel rooms, so therefore that could be more money towards scholarships.
Right.
Well, and that was what I was thinking about, too, in terms of asking about the governor's grant. But the other thing I was thinking about, too, is that even if we can't get them individual grants, I know we talked about, I'm wondering, can we get a grant just to pay for their rooms? I'm trying to figure out how we can not spend any of your money that you've been assigned, Di, on logistical stuff, but spend it all on the scholarships itself.
Mm-hmm.
We could probably do some brainstorming, but also let me tell you this, guys, we can also put get donations from different places. Again, that personal relationship that Patty talked about, we can get donations from different places and earmark it for scholarships. So keep that in mind, guys. We can also, I mean, you know somebody that knows somebody that probably works at GM and wants to give us $1,000 specifically for scholarships, hey, we can take it. So just remember that. But yeah, we can talk about it, Di, try to figure out a game plan to help get more money in the coffers for you.
Okay, sounds good.
Any other questions on scholarships? Anybody? All right, we're moving on now since, let's see, let's go with Newsline. Go for it, Lee.
The balance in the NFP Newsline account is $7,668.45. With the COVID-19, our director, Scott White, has put up some new content from the Johns Hopkins University. There's been a great request for finding out statistically what's going on with the COVID-19. NFB Newsline has placed that information up there. It's very easy to access on all of your devices. So, and it's been used pretty heavily. So if you want to know more about, you know, COVID-19 other than what you're hearing on the news and want to look at it statistically, it's there for you. So particularly like here in Indiana, the state of Indiana gives you updated figures or stats on throughout the day, so it's updated consistently. There's also we've got a good increase in our magazines, for those that have requested magazines, such as Ms. Susan Jones, we're still working on those to get those magazines. We get hundreds and hundreds of requests for magazines throughout the country. So they're working on it, and, you know, there's other strategies that goes along with that for cost. I would like to thank the scholarship committee for sending me the applicants' information so that they can sign up for NFB Newsline. And Di, the list that you sent me, we're still waiting on those to respond. And I know it could be a process, but at least the offer is made and is helpful as far as the previous request from the last state board meeting to help get new subscribers to the service. We also want to give a thank you out to Michael Law for his consistent work with the NFB Newsline website, as well as the state website, and as well as with the Zoom. And with the Zoom, the NFB Newsline will be trying to schedule several interviews with the NFB Newsline via Zoom. I spoke with this with President Brown, and he thought it would be a good idea. And one of our first ones will be Mr. Scott White, the director. And we're still waiting on a date and time and had to coordinate that with Michael Loff as well. So when that becomes available, we'll get that out there and move forward with that. Florence Myers McSwine is still continuing to making the phone calls to the new subscribers to make sure that they're adapt to the equipment that they're using or the devices that they're using, and that they can get basically started with the program. So, in a nutshell, that's my report, Mr. President. Any questions? Hearing none, Mr. President, that's my report.
Okay. Any questions or comments for Lee?
I just want to thank Lee and the Newsline team, because I tell you, especially the new information that's up there with about the COVID-19 and just being able to keep up with everything, it's been really nice having that service.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments, questions? I think one of the things that I'm looking forward to, Lee, is you having the Newsline show on Zoom. I think you'll be able to reach a wider audience. I mean, it might bring a whole lot of new people involved in the organization. I think if we use this thing right, we can get a lot of bang for our buck for this thing. All right. Anybody else? Questions, comments for Lee? Anybody from the floor? Okay, let's move on now to legislation. Joe Higdon, what you got?
This, one of the things I got is that earlier this week, or yesterday actually, mm-hmm. I sent out a link on the NFB Indiana page to help support the merchants. There's over 90% of our merchants that are out of work right now. This is a new link. It is not the same link that was sent out a week or two ago. I am asking that everybody go to the link. It is real easy. All you have to do is put your name, your email address, your phone number, and then you go down and it says review. You review it, and then it goes down and says submit. And what that does is that is submitting your information and the letter that is already there. You do not have to write a letter, add to the letter, anything. It's sending it to all your congressmen and senators to help with some funding to be able to restart these 90% of these Randolph Shepherd vendors locations that are closed. We are asking that some of the small business money be earmarked to get some of that money to help with the Randolph Shepherd program. So if you could, you, your mother, do one in your dog's name, whatever, you know, please, please help support the Randolph Shepherd program. Also, I have been really busy. I am one of the fortunate ones to be working, but I seen where Ron sent on the NFE Indiana listserv last week a legislative alert from Nationals. Please watch for them and, you know, do what they ask you to do. As for state legislation, there is not anything at this time. You know, as long as this is going on, our governor is not going to be worried about anything but giving updates on COVID. That's all I have.
All right. Questions, comments?
Mr. President, Tammy Hollingsworth.
Tammy.
Yeah, I just wanted to speak. Chris isn't on here right now. He was a little earlier, I think, but he had to go. But one of the things about that merchant's request that's really important is a lot of our newer merchants, people who haven't been in the program very long, maybe have just gotten started, this is hitting them like a ton of bricks because they don't have a nest egg built up to be able to rely on when the business starts again. And literally the product is just going bad. I know vendors have done what they can to sell things to vendors who are still working, but literally, I mean, product that they have paid for is just not going to be sellable. And they don't have the money to dip into to be able to refinance that. So, you know, a lot of people think of, oh my goodness, these vendors have been in business for years, and a lot of them have, and a lot of them have a backup, you know, and have planned for something of this nature. But a lot of them have not, especially those who are new or have the smaller sites. They just don't have the extra to have a backup. So, you know, as you think about whether or not you should click on that link, please do it, because if it's not for you or someone that you know, you might be helping somebody in, you know, California or Texas or whatever, who's just gotten started and who is really looking at it going, can I even make this happen? Can I even make this a career now? So just keep it in mind and do it. It's not that hard.
We, to elaborate a little bit on what Tim is saying, is there are two in particular vendors in the state of Indiana that have been in business less than 6 months. Okay. And also, a lot of our buildings are locked down. We can't even get in them to get the product if we wanted to donate it or anything like that. We can't even get to it. So it's just all sitting there going bad.
Yeah. That's good points from Tammy and Joe. Let me ask you guys, Joe or Pam. I know she's not here.
Is that on the state website, or is it, where did you send it to?
I sent it to the BEP, the Indy, and the Indiana.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a great letter, guys. I would please, please, please sign the letter and have your family sign it, send it in, and get it out there, because like Joey said, there's two vendors that are new, and they're both actually in the Indianapolis chapter. Charles Brown, you may know him, or Leo Deaton, and they both could use some help. So definitely keep them in your thoughts and prayers.
Okay.
And maybe get some money for them.
All right. Well, we like donations. You know, we like building relationships.
That's right.
So let me ask you guys, before we move off of this topic, let me ask you or Pam or Joe. There's another thing going on with these Indiana truck stops, these food trucks moving in.
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys, would it be helpful for the state affiliate to write a letter to the governor on behalf of the vendors that are out on the interstate about these food trucks?
Yes, no, not, don't do it. What's going on with that?
Yes, yes, but not governor. NDOT.
Yeah.
Right, write the letter to NDOT.
Yeah. Yep. And right now it's going to be kind of hard. And a lot of the blind vendors that are on the highway have called me. And, you know, I get what they're coming from. I really do. But I don't think we're going to get a whole lot of, you know, that's too bad for you blind vendors, kind of, because the truck drivers have to have someplace to eat. And so right now they're like one of the first responders, and but it's not fair to the blind vendor either, just come in and take our business. So it's kind of, you got to be careful how it's worded, and but we don't want to seem greedy, but we want our blind vendors to get, be able to make a living too.
I guess I should have asked one of you guys to give some background on that. Sorry, somebody.
Oh, you're fine.
Real
you're
quick,
fine.
Go ahead. And Pam, since you're talking, go ahead and tell them some background on what we're talking about.
Well, it actually happened on a national level, and most of you probably know truck drivers cannot go, like, to drive-ups, drive up for McDonald's. They can't get their trucks underneath those little awnings, so they don't have any place to stop and eat. So a lot of the major places won't let them do that. So the NDOT on a national level called, actually it was a meeting with Nikki, who is the head of NABM on a national level. And this is what they came up with, and pretty much we were just told this is what's going to happen. It will go away, supposedly, after this crisis is over, and we hope that's true. But at this point, that's what they tell us, so we're going to hope that's true. But what happens, they bring their trucks there, and so everybody starts buying food from them instead of buying food from the blind vendor, and so the blind vendor is not making a whole lot of money.
The state, Beavis, is working with lawyers right now to try to get something done about them selling the same product we are in the vending machines. Whether anything will get done about that, I don't know. I am also told, and do know that for a fact of one of them, truck stops are still open and they are serving food at their little restaurants. They can walk up and get their food. But as like Pam said, McDonald's and them will not let you just walk up to their drive-thru window and order food. They will not serve you. So that's where a lot of truckers are being inconvenienced, because if they are on their hour stoppage, not near a truck stop that is serving food, they have no way of eating. And that was their thinking on putting food trucks on the rest areas from, I think, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. is when they're allowed to be there. We are already getting complaints from the workers at the rest areas that they are leaving trash and stuff everywhere. Our hopes are that they're just really not even getting much business out there to where they'll just go away and stay away. The contract is supposed to expire as soon as the pandemic is lifted. We just have to stay vigilant to make sure that all the food trucks are gone when the pandemic is lifted.
All right. Excuse me. Any other questions, comment? I have one quick comment, and that is that so on a national level and a state level, guys, not only with the truck stops, but businesses that have drive-up windows are letting the cars come up and stuff, but they're not. Some of them, I'm not going to say all of them, and we need to know this, guys. If you experience wanting to go through a drive-through, like walk up to the window and make your order, and they turn you away, we need for you guys to let us know that, because we're working on this on a national level, and that is that these places of business are not letting blind people walk up and order food. And so some of the places are doing it. We want to gold star those, but we want to also shame the other ones that are not doing it, because we don't drive, we don't have cars. And if you're out and about and you want to walk up and buy yourself a hamburger, say at a McDonald's, and they turn you down because you're not driving, that is a problem. We need to know about it. The other thing, one last anecdotal note to this whole story is, Carla McQuillan, you know, she was our national rep last year. One of her members walked up to a drive-thru, and they went to order their food, and they was getting ready to say something about them not being in a car, and he pulled out his toy car and showed it to them that he did have a car, and so therefore they served him. That's just an anecdotal thing, but nevertheless, it happens.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it happens.
I have a recommendation, Mr. President.
Okay. Hot Wheels at next year's convention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. I love it.
Yeah, it works. Okay, Joe.
If anybody has a fast food restaurant in their neighborhood, try to walk up to it and order from it and see what happens, whether it's negative or positive. Please,
I'm on it.
It won't happen. I actually did it way before this ever came up. I went up to a bank window and they would not let me do it. They just said it's a safety issue. So, you know, and I get it. I mean, there are cars coming through, but if you can't see a person standing there, you shouldn't be driving.
And although everything is locked down and not only have drive-up window service, these are unusual times, so you ought to be, it seems to us that we ought to be able to have them relax those rules and let us walk up because they know we can't drive up, you know, so that's what we're working on nationally, but we want statewide for people to, if you have those experiences, let Joe, like Joe said, let us know and go try it and see what happens in Indiana. We're ready for it, ready to pounce all over it. Any other questions or comments about legislation? All right, thanks, Joe. Let's see, membership, Florence, you got anything? Did I lose her?
Unless she's muted.
I believe she's not here as of now.
Okay.
I do know, the President, I do know that there's a call today on the national level with Ms. Massey regarding membership. So I didn't know she may have to left to go to that particular call. But I do know that there's a meeting today regarding the membership and the packet and all of that other stuff. So I know we have several members on that particular call this afternoon.
And I think we have our, if I'm not mistaken, Pam, you can tell me, we got our membership information in to Nationals. I know it was due by April 15th. Is that correct, Pam?
And well, I know I wrote all that list up and sent all that to, I can't remember her name, Ron, but I also sent it to Florence.
Julie McGinnahy,
Jeannie. I sent it to her. And I also sent it to Florence because I wasn't sure. I thought Florence was really the one supposed to do all this. But we definitely need to make sure we're – also, one thing I know that has happened is people on the state list, you know, the one that they call in – that I can't think of what it's called – where all the people call in that don't have chapters.
Oh, the at-large chapter.
What I'm going to do, the at-large chapter, I need to get on there and get everybody's name and address and make sure those people get added to the list because I know they aren't. Michael gave me Abby's information, but there's probably other people that I don't have. And so if I get those, I'll add them on and send it to Florence or just send it to the National. So, but
or if you and Flo can coordinate an effort or some, one of you guys put out a email to the state list and say, if you haven't, you know, given your information for the Nationals membership drive, please, you know, send it to you off list or something like that. And that way, you know, I just don't want people missing out on getting their coins, and I don't want people missing out on getting their membership pack, new membership packets. I mean, it's all kind of stuff coming out.
Well, and that's why I said I'm going to try to get on that one call. I'll have to ask Michael when it is because I don't always get on that call. But so I can make sure I get everybody on there to send me their information.
All righty.
Or send it to Florence. Really, it's Florence's. I think it's her job, but I'd be glad to help her.
Okay, question or statement, Mr. President. I do know that with Jeannie Massey and the from the chapter president's list, sir, there was a problem with the initial information that was sent out regarding the packet and how it was supposed to be distributed. So it was supposed to send out some additional information to correct the error because individuals, certain presidents were sending in their chapter information and states were sending in their information. But it wasn't being recorded because the misinformation from the initial initiative. So she's supposed to be sending out some more information so that it's corrected and that the information can go to Nationals as to who it's supposed to go to and be recorded. So that's probably why some of the state information and some of the individuals haven't received their coins. Because when we first started out, the coins were sent to, were going to the state president, and the state president was sending the coins to the chapter, was supposed to be sending them out, and then he changed it to where the chapter president was receiving the coins and distributing them. So now the process is, from my understanding, is that the National is sending out the coins in the packet. So it's still up in the air, and that's one of the reasons I'm having a call this afternoon.
Okay.
Ron?
Corey?
Pam, just want to let you know that Barb is giving you Ron Thomas's contact information. Here's the email.
Okay, that'd be great. Thank you, Barb.
All right. Thank any other questions, comments about membership?
So let me... Ron, so it is the chapter's presidents that are supposed to do all this? Or am I supposed to keep that list? Is that list that we put together still good?
Our list is still good, and what we sent in originally, excuse me, was good.
Because I did a lot of work on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And everybody got their coins, for the most part, that came off your list. Now, this new thing with these new membership packets, and they're mailing the packets out along with the... they're mailing the coins out with the membership packets. That's new. And so if they're going to mail them out, let me ask you, Lee, are they mailing them out, all the new packets of information, to the chapter president, or are they mailing them out to individuals?
Sadly, to me, they're mailing them out to the individuals.
Okay.
Along with the information that about the NFB, you know, so to get information from the NFB, different brochures, and a letter from the president, and that's been mailed out to each member. One of our members recently got theirs. And,
now the collection of names, though. Who do they want to turn the names in?
Now, I don't want to bound too much on that because it's been up in the air, but I know that at our state convention, I think the process was that the master list has been mailed out that Pam done with all the chapter members and the chapter president.
Correct.
Yeah, I knew that was done.
Now, with new members, from my understanding, is that the chapter president can assign someone within their chapter to take the names and send the names over to Florence. And then Florence will send that master list on over to National.
Okay. Because I have the Lafayette chapter member list. I just added it to our master list, but I think I sent it to Florence, but I'm not sure. I can't remember for sure. But I think I did, or I don't know, but if I just wasn't sure who was doing it. I mean, I did the master list, but I didn't know if I'm supposed to keep going because keep adding to it.
That was good. If Pam, you going to do it for the Indianapolis chapter or whoever Michael assigns to do it, that'd be great. And they send the names on in. I guess it's going from chapter to chapter now. Our master list, when they originally asked for it, we did that. You did a wonderful job on it. You and Flo both got it in and got. She had some names. You had a lot of everybody, almost everybody's name. So that's been sent. Your job is done for the most part. What you need, what any chapter president on here needs to do now is assign some person, like Lee said, in their chapter. Or if not, and it may have to be the chapter president to get those names in if you want your new members to get a new member packet with the coin. You have to send the names in yourself.
Okay.
Each individual chapter.
Ron, this Pam, should we keep that list? Like, because, I mean, sometimes there's people that ask for all the people in our state. So should I keep a running total on that?
I think that's a good idea. I actually do think that if you got a list of names and people, yeah, that would be great.
Okay.
That data is very helpful.
Yeah. Well, I've been keeping it. I just didn't know if we needed it.
My question is this, Pam and Ron, President Brown. Is this the list that you have now? Is that list privy to each member if they request it or not? There's a lot of information on there, and you know.
Nobody's asked me, but I would have had to ask Ron because I don't know. I just sent it to National and Flo. That's it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here's what I would say to that. Nothing in our organization is secret, and I mean it's all supposed to be transparent. So
if someone requests that list, they should be have access to it. That's a member of our organization. But, and there's a big but, I would like to say that, and as a board of directors, we can decide this ourselves. I would like to say that we get clearance from the president to say, yes, go ahead and send them that list, because some people may not want their information out there. Now, are we saying that you can't ask for it? Sure, you can. But if you're somebody like, I don't know, Joe Blow from ACB, do you want our list? No, you can't get it. So, but if you're a member of our organization in good standing, I don't see a problem with it. Now, I'm posing this question to the board. What do you guys feel?
I don't have a problem with it, but, I mean, then there's a lot of people that didn't give certain information they didn't want out there, which was fine. So, you know, it's up to you guys.
Because technically, guys, all of our stuff for membership is out there, like if you want to get the Braille monitor, you know. But if you're not, don't put anything down you don't want anybody to know. Like, you know, people were asking for social security numbers. No. That kind of
no.
thing. No. So, you
phone
know, but our list phone numbers are okay, unless you just don't want nobody to have your number, because let's face it, we have to keep in touch with each other, and we have to. Those numbers and names have been out for years.
Right.
They've been collecting that data for years, and it's all been transparent. I'm not trying to start anything different. I'm just acting on tradition of our organization, and that is that, you know, you give your name, address, phone number, and that type of thing, and whether or not you want Braille or otherwise.
Ron?
Well, go ahead.
Who was that?
That's Pam. I just was going to say that I could get everything else off of that, make a copy, and just take everything off except name, address, and phone number, if you guys would feel more comfortable. If people wanted the list, I could just take everything else off of that if you wanted, and copy and paste it into another document. So
that's a good idea.
Okay. Would that help?
Because here's the way nationals do it. If for whatever reason we're getting a running database of everybody's info anyway, and they are doing just what Pam said, they're parceling out information. Now, you can't call nationals and ask for a list of everybody's name in Indiana. What they'll do is have you call me, and I have to request it. And if I request it, then they'll give it to you. They'll give it to me, and I can forward it to you, something like that. Now, that's how they're doing that information. I think we could follow suit on our own state's information and do the same thing, just like Pam requested, that she put, you know, name, address, phone number. If you want anything else other than that, like birth certificate, birthright, or whatever, I'm probably not going to give it to you.
You're crazy.
Yeah, I just had those security concerns with the way that people can manipulate information nowadays. That's all they need, basically. Fraud. All they need is your name, your address, and your phone number.
Yeah, that's
you know,
true.
So, that was some of my concern and reason for asking.
And that's a valid question. It has been asked on a national level because they, like, for example, the White Cane list. People use that list to recruit new members off of. When people call in to the White Cane list the White Cane list, and they ask for a cane, we collect data on them, and then nationals turn right around and send that data out to me. Here's all the people that ask for a cane from Indiana, Ron. You might want to try to recruit them, and then I pass that list on to certain people in our organization who wants it. Some of you are getting it already. I don't know, who was that? It's Katie used to get it, Frank, anybody that has requested it. Kane Rowland, I think, got it. And so, you guys, you need that list in order to recruit new members or new people in your that live near you in your chapter. You can have that. That's not a problem. We have to share that. But significant stuff, no. Like, you know, important HIPAA stuff, that kind of stuff, no. We can't share that. So I guess if everybody's in consensus of what we'll do, and we'll do it like that, and if anybody has any major dissension about this, then please say something now before we move on. All right. Let's go with chapter development. Tammy or Katie? Is Katie on here? I don't know.
No, I'm but Tammy here, is. Tammy's here. So the chapter development committee, we have been meeting on a pretty regular basis. We have a couple of things to report. That's pretty exciting. Lafayette. Some of you, I know when we met last, that meeting had to be rescheduled. It was rescheduled, and there was a team of board members who went to assist them in getting the chapter started. So that chapter has gotten started. And since the last board meeting, we have had a couple of things. The first is in Evansville, there is some interest. I'm really just so happy that Dan Schaefer, he's kind of getting excited about maybe starting something in the area. And we know we have Scott Jehers down there. I guess it's Gary. I pronounces it wrong. Gary's. Scott Gary's down there, and Ron, Leron is also down there, and there's some other people. So they're working on trying to gather enough people and just establish relationships like we were talking about earlier so that whenever all of this COVID-19 stuff lifts itself, we would be able to start some chapter activity in person down there. But we've been encouraging them to meet individually as a group. So hopefully that's getting started a little bit. I don't know that it's really gotten a route, but I think they're working on it. At least there's some interest there. The other thing we found out at our last meeting is from Katie up in Muncie. Katie has been pretty excited about wanting to start a chapter up in Muncie. She's wanted to do it, but she's felt very much as if she's by herself in that goal. And she connected up with one of the scholarship candidates, and one of the scholarship candidates is extremely motivated to get a chapter started in that area. And so between the two of them, they have kind of gotten some things started and some plans started for the fall, because that's when students at the university are looking for new things to join, etc. So they are reaching out to contact in the Muncie area and really considering trying to get a chapter started. They're going to be doing some virtual events to try to encourage people to just kind of get to know each other ahead of time. That's what we're encouraging all of the chapters that are thinking about starting up to do. Because it's real easy to join a phone call. It's harder to actually get out and go to a meeting, but it is easy to join a virtual phone call. So we're hoping that, you know, some good things can come out of this COVID-19, and those are a couple of them. So that is where we are right now. We are meeting usually on the first Sunday evening of the month, usually at 7 p.m. on the NFB conference call line. We also have tried a couple of virtual chapter at large meetings, but what we have found is that we've basically had Ron Thomas and one other person attend. So we're not sure why that's not working. Oh, it's Ron and
Tyler.
Tyler, thank you. Okay. I can't believe my cruising buddy. I missed him. Tyler, yeah, they've been attending that whenever we've had those, but we haven't had any other interest. So, and it could just be the nature of the beast. Maybe people aren't on the state listserv, that kind of thing. I don't know. But hopefully we can, you know, get something going a little bit more regularly with that. But a lot of the people who are interested in that are actually in the Evansville area. So I think they might be drawing closer to their local community to be involved there. So anyway, that's kind of what we're up to. It is an active group, an active committee. Chris Meyer has joined us. He had expressed an interest in working with the committee. So it's myself, Corey, Katie and Chris. The CCC and the T, I guess. you know, but anyway, so we're working on it, and you know, it's been kind of neat trying to, you know, help out chapters. We've had people call in to just get some advice, encouragement, various things. We were working with Fort Wayne initially after the last board meeting to figure out ways to get kind of remotivated. But with the death of Frank, we've decided that even the chapter, they really feel that reorganizing later is going to be the best plan for that. So
yeah, I was going to ask you that because I heard from Tyler about wanting to reorganize up there.
Right.
Have you talked to him lately about that?
Yeah, it not really recently. It's been a couple, three weeks since I've talked to Tyler, but he's thinking about reorganizing, but it would need to be down the road, especially with the COVID-19, everything going on with that. We were initially talking about the fall, but I don't know. It might have to be next spring before we can even get anything like that started, just because of the delay that COVID-19 has put on everything. So anyway, he's definitely in the agreement. He and Caprice are in agreement that chapter just needs to dissolve for the moment, and they want to come back, you know, and be a chapter, but they just need time to regroup and rethink, you know, how to get it started up in a better, different way.
Okay. Two things. One, have you reached out to Tyler to have him send them their chapter monies back to the state to hold in holding trust, and or would you like our state treasurer to do it?
I did actually tell him that he needs to send it to Micah, so I don't know if he has sent it to Micah yet. Micah, if you don't have his contact information, I can give it to you, I thought he had the contact information for Micah, but if he doesn't, you know, we can make sure he has that, because I did tell him not to send it to me or anywhere.
I will look, and usually Haley handles the mail because, you know, sighted people. But I will look and see if I don't already have it, then I will get in contact with him and see if he can get it to me.
Okay, great. Anything else, Corey?
All right. I just want to add my two cents in. If I'm not mistaken, Dennis Manning is on this call. If he can figure out how to unmute himself. He did ask me for the information. I gave it to him, and he's on the call, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's it, actually.
Oh,
but
excellent.
But well, Dennis, he's still on here.
Okay, Dennis, if you are on the call, congratulations to you. But we have to do a piece of business first, and that is to vote you in as a legitimate chapter. We know that you have a constitution. I have it on my computer. And if anybody did not get that, please let us know. All the state board members I'm talking to now, you should have that constitution. We need to vote on them as a chapter in the affiliate of the National Federation of the Blind. And once we vote them in, or we can reject them, and once we vote them in, then they will be chartered this fall at our state convention. So the business now is I need a motion from a board member to vote them in.
Bam. I make a motion that we accept the Lafayette chapter as part of the National Federation of the Blind of Indiana.
Is there a second? Lee?
Second.
Lee seconds it. It's been moved and second that we vote the Lafayette chapter in as a member of the National Federation of the Blind of Indiana. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed. All right, congratulations, Lafayette Chapter. You are now a part of the National Federation of the Blind of Indiana. Thank you so much, guys, for joining us, and we look for great things out of Lafayette. I'm sure you guys will do well. If you need any assistance, you know, Corey has been, I'm told, assigned to you guys as your chapter liaison with the state. Also, any of the state board is open to you to talk to. Anybody in the affiliate is open to you to talk to. So make sure that you you reach out to some of us. And if you have any questions, Dennis, or any of your members that may be on. All right, so I'll get the paperwork started then and ask for nationals to send you guys your charter of affiliation, and it will be presented to you at our state convention. Congratulations. Okay, let's move on to that. We winding down. That is the committee reports. That's it. All right, let's move on now to old business. Is there any old business?
Yes, Mr. President.
Okay, Lee.
I was wanting to see where we are with the phone, the state phone. Has there been any advancements and getting that converted over?
Well, I think I'll ask my able treasurer that information. I'll tell you what I did. I spent the better part of a couple of days trying to get this thing turned off, and they would not turn it off. So Pam took it over, and then she spent some time, and her and Micah has been trying to get it turned off. It's still not turned off. So Pam told her to, I guess, to stop paying the bill, and maybe they'll get back with you then, and we can get this thing shut off. Micah, where are we at with that?
So I think that we need, because I talked to Pam about this, and we need an account number, or we need a certain particular kind of number that I don't have. What I have is the bank statements that show that they take it out, and it just shows ATT payment. It doesn't show, it's not like a paper bill. I don't have a copy of the bill. So I don't even know, I don't have a way to call them and say, you know, turn this off or stop paying it, because it's already set up on auto draft, and I did not set that up. It was done before me.
Way before you. But how do we stop an auto draft? Because they would not. I talked to several people at ATT.
You have to call the bank and talk to the bank, and they will stop. Yes.
Okay. I will call and stop that. It would probably be really helpful if I could have the account number or some kind of information to tell.
You have to have the phone number. And just that,
yes, we don't have an account number. Let me tell you what these guys told me. So they said that AT&T says, for one, we don't have you guys listed as a phone number that we're taking money from. I said, what? And so they say, no, we don't have that. You're not in our database of us collecting money from you. I said, look, it's an AT&T account. It has been for many, many years. And they said, no, it may have been a subsidiary that took you guys' account over. Subsidiaries that they work with, and none of them had it. I said, well, we know for a fact that somebody's taking money from us. It's showing up as ATT. So now, how we get it? So me and Pam talked about it too, and Micah, it was like, well, just put a stop payment on them. They got to come out. Yeah, they got to come out eventually and say, hey, where's our money? You know, and then we'll be able to figure it out. So I think that's probably the best course of action, Micah, is to just cut that tap off.
My question, though, is how are they? I mean, we have a phone number that people call, so they are providing service to us. So
yeah, but they won't tell you one thing. I promise you, they will not, because I've done it at my work. They won't tell you one thing until you have those four last digits of that phone number. That's how they go by. And if you don't have them, they don't talk to you.
So nobody is getting bills for this. Then there's no paperless.
Unless they were getting them to Tammy's house. And I talked to Davy Jones about it, and Davy Jones said that he hasn't got anything from them, and that, from AT&T. I asked him, did he have anything? They never billed me, though, for it, because I wasn't, you know, paying it. But I have no clue. This is a nightmare.
Okay. I will call
Corey.
Susan, hello?
Is there a way?
Wait a minute, Susan, just a second. Go ahead, Corey.
Is there a way that you guys can track the address that the bill is going to? Because if that's the case, then you can look up the address and say, hey, it goes to XYZ, you know, but I would stop the payment and then let them knock on your door and then do the, okay. Because we're probably spending
Once I believe Michael stops the payment, they're going to send a physical bill to somebody, but no one's getting a physical bill right now because it's always been on auto pay. Is that right?
I was paperless, Micah. Then. Okay.
Yeah, it's on auto pay. I mean, I would think every other account that I have in my personal life, if I've set something on auto pay, there's like an online portal that I can go into and see my bills and track my usage and, you know, whatever, if it's IPL or Citizens or Comcast. So I don't know. I mean, I guess the best guess would be that Tammy did that. I can't imagine that she would have set something up online, but
no.
In any case, what I will do is I will call the bank and see if I can get them to stop making that payment out of our account. And then if for whatever reason I can't get that to happen, I don't have another solution, but I'm happy to.
And Micah, I'm a signee on that account, and if they need my signature or my approval to stop it, then let me know and I'll call the bank with you, or we can do it together, or we can go in together whenever we can go in and physically sit down with somebody and see if they can trace this payment, because it just, I don't know.
We're probably spending money that is worth
it. It's a lot of money.
Oh, Susan wanted to add. I'm sorry. Susan?
I don't know how it works with corporate accounts, but I know with a personal account, the minute you switch it over to another carrier, like let's say we were to do Spectrum or something, that would stop the AT&T right now.
Michael. I was going to bring up the very same issue. I'm not sure if corporate works any different, but if you choose your new service and then do what's called porting the phone number, then they literally take the number from AT&T or whomever the subsidiary is, and at that point they have to stop billing because there's nothing to bill.
And yes, I think all of that would work if we were Verizon or Sprint or something, but we're not. We'll have a different phone number. You know what I mean?
Although we need to talk about that too. This has been a well-established number for many, many years, and a lot of people have it, and a lot of people across the country look at this number as Indiana's hotline, which it is. But what can we do about keeping the number so that those who still have it in their databases, 211, all these places. What do we do about that? Can we keep the same number, Michael Loft?
Yeah, that's what this should do. If you choose a new service, they give you an option of what they call port the number. You say, what number do you want? And you give them the current number that you have, and usually within 3 business days, that number should be ported to your new service.
Now, we were talking about, as an organization, going to Google Voice, is it?
No.
Or not?
You talked about that. You talked about Voice. Zoom. There's a number of options.
Oh, we say Zoom, didn't we? Can we do a Zoom call? I mean, a Zoom phone bank thingy?
You can, but it costs you. The cost is you have to have a Zoom room, and since we don't have our own, this comes from National. You have to have one of those combined with about $25 a month. And I wasn't aware that it was $25. So it's going to cost you about $40 a month and some change. There's some other options as low as $15 a month. You can do it via Skype for about $69 for the entire year, which would be $5.75 a month. So there's a number of different options, but at the convention we talked about Zoom, and that's going to cost you about $40 plus tax a month.
And we voted on that to do that. So we voted to go to Zoom and do that. So
we might be able to use Magic Jack. I don't know if you guys have checked that out.
Well, here's my thoughts. We voted on Zoom to use their number, and I'd rather pay the $40 than the $200 that we're paying. So can we change it over to Zoom or ask them to port our number over to Zoom and then see what happens?
That is one option if you vote to do so.
Well, we voted to already take Zoom. I mean, we already had the vote, so it's just a matter of changing it now, right? Unless
right.
you guys
so
want
I
to
guess,
do something different.
So I guess Micah would have to do it since she has the account information for billing purposes.
So And that's the concern, is that I don't like, I have the bank statement showing that AT&T is taking money out, but I don't have any way to go into AT&T or whatever. Like if I get an IPL bill and I don't like what they charge me, I can go in and say, here's my account number, let's talk about this, whatever. I have none of that information.
You might be able to just use our phone number with that, Micah. If you're just changing it, I don't think they would. I mean, if you were going to go with Zoom, you would just give them our number. So you know the number, right? That is in Ron's house or the hot.
I actually don't know that, but I mean that's easily gotten to. So that's
here.
That's
let me give you the number right now. While we're on the phone.
Really quickly, am I going into Zoom then and buying us a Zoom room and doing that as an affiliate? I can do that. That's fine.
That's probably what we have to do.
Well, and we voted to change it over to Zoom. That the vote passed, and we said we're changing the number over to Zoom. So that's already been voted on. So actually, yes, you'll have to go in now, buy a Zoom account, out of our affiliate, and then port the number over to Zoom, and then we go from there.
Can we use for the rest of the year the Zoom account that the Nationals offering us? Like, we don't need to be duplicative, I don't think.
Let me ask Mike Loff, are we able to make a phone calls or get calls in on this account?
No, not to my knowledge. I had to talk to National. I see no provision for that. I don't know if they would accommodate that or not.
It does cost extra. So if it's just simpler for us to go in and do our own, and Indiana can own two Zoom rooms for the rest of the year, and then just one after that, that's fine.
Yeah, because I would be mindful that I heard when we had their initial meeting, they said something about 2 or 3 months. So I wasn't sure if they're going to keep this service once things return to, quote, normal.
Okay. Yeah, and the jury's still out on it, because they were talking about it was going to be as long as we needed it. But now how long is that? We don't know. So let's just, let me ask the board. Do you guys want to go ahead and buy an account and just be done with it? And once this one that we're using is over, we'll still have our own. That has to be a vote.
Question.
Who's that?
Joe.
Oh, Joe?
I'm not trying to shake things up by any means, because this has been going on for years. How many lines is there on the phone service right now? Who gets the phone calls?
One, I do.
And why are we going with Zoom? Why don't we go with Magic Jack, like somebody just mentioned?
Well, two reasons why we're not going with Magic Jack, Joe. We're trying. Magic Jack is free, as I understand it, but we're trying to get this phone number stopped, this billing cycle stopped. And in order to get it stopped, from what these experts on here have just said, was that we need to have it, this number ported over to something else, and then they'll stop it, because they'll change providers. And so even if we keep our Zoom account for 1 month just to get this thing stopped, I'm willing to do that. But and then we can revisit this topic and talk about Magic Jack or any other Jack. But I just need to get this thing stopped.
Mr. President,
but you can't port your number to Magic Jack?
I'm not sure, because I don't know. It's a free thing. Can we, Mike or Pam or anybody that does Magic? I don't know.
Ron.
But now Corey's afraid of you, Mike.
Say it again, Tony.
Tony was talking about it. Here you go.
I was talking about this with Magic Jack. However, I'm afraid it might be the same thing with Zoom or anything else, because I know with Magic Jack, there is a paid service. However, I do know that you can port a number over, just like you can port a number to any other service. However, what I'm afraid of, and I haven't done it, because when I got my Magic Jack account, I got a new phone number, so I was able just to choose it. But what may happen is at some point when you're porting the number over, you have to, at some point, sign an authorization, or, you know, you acknowledge an authorization that you are the owner of that number and that you authorize that it be ported over to this account, and they might ask you for your account number. Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah.
And that's in any case.
Yeah, and that may be what you're going to run into, whether you're trying to port it to Zoom, Magic Jack, or in Xfinity. It doesn't matter, you know, anybody. It would be I'm afraid you might run into that, because I actually ported a number. The last time I ported a number, I had a phone number on my account that I allowed our granddaughter to have, and I actually had to give some personal information and authorize that phone number be granted to her.
Yeah, there you go.
So is this number like Hotel California, where you can check in but you can't check out? I mean, good God. I ain't never seen nothing like it.
I'm telling you, you stop paying them, they're going to stop taking money out of the account. You quit paying.
That's exactly. That's
okay, forget it. I don't even want to keep the account number anymore. The phone number. I just want to shut it down. Oh, my God.
I know, right?
Okay, so
Diane.
Am I correct in understanding that we are paying $200 a month for a phone line?
Pretty much. Yep.
Damn.
Wow.
We can port it to a cell phone a lot cheaper than that.
Exactly.
I'm thinking we might have got slammed is what happened.
Yeah, it sounds like
might do it.
Because I'm telling you guys, I stayed on the phone with AT&T, and they said they didn't have us.
Well, and you can get slammed, and they can change your phone company without you even giving them permission. What they do, they call you, and if you say yes to anything they say, I've been slammed before, and it's not fun.
They do that with mortgages all the time.
Yep.
Yeah. This has been happening, though, since Tammy was, like, because I brought this up, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago.
Yes, you did. I'm wondering, Gene just brought up a good point, is maybe we can ask Nationals if they have any old phone bills that we have had that they archived.
Yeah.
And to see if there's an account number on there.
Did we get any info from Tammy, guys, at all? Did we get any old?
Yeah, Micah, did she send you anything?
No.
We already have one that's.
And I'm going to ask.
And guys,
does call here all the time trying to change this number. And I told them I'm trying to turn this number off, and they never do it. And so what I want to know also, Micah, is, well, maybe I'll reach out to Davy Jones again and see if Davy can look through anything he might have. He might have thrown all of Tammy's paperwork out by now. I don't know. But he called us very upset one day about stuff still coming to his house in the Federation name. And I think, what was it, membership or something? Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, and I had that stopped. But... I don't know.
Mr. President,
here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call the bank first, and I'm going to get him to stop the auto draft. I just looked on the app. I have no capability to do that on the app. I don't have a way to do it on the online system, but I will call them and have them do that. What that might do then is mean we don't have a state phone number for a little while until we're sorting out. So just FYI for everybody.
Let's just shut it down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, President Brown, if you could just disclose the phone number, I may be able to do a reverse lookup and see who actually owns it. I'll go through the FCC database.
Thank you, sir. The number is 317-205-9226. 317-205-9226. We also, if you guys, many years ago, some of you guys remember that we had an 800 number also with this phone. And that was for people calling out of state. And then we dropped that many years ago because it was costing us a fortune. And so we just kept the local number. That's what we have now.
And just I don't know why we don't. I'm sorry, Mr. President.
Go ahead.
If it's a local number and we're going to lose the number, I don't know why we just don't switch it to a Sprint phone that's only like $50 a month. That way, if you're out of town, you can give it to whoever on call to answer the call.
Yeah, and the way this one was set up years ago too, it had different mailboxes too that I think we took off to try to save money. It was like it had a Parents of Blind Children's Division number. We had different divisions that had mailboxes on this thing. And so it's just down to a local number now. That's it, because we call ourselves saving money way back in the day. But now it's just like a nightmare. So I'm willing to do whatever you guys want to do. If we want to port it over to a, like Joe said, a Sprint number, and we could save money just doing that.
Mr. President.
Who is that?
It's Pam. Do you think that number got changed from when I was treasurer? Because I have old bills from way back when I was treasurer, but I'm sure it got changed.
No.
You don't think?
No, Pam. If you have a bill.
Oh, I got bills.
This number has been the same for over 20 years.
Okay, well then let me go look today, and I will see if I can find an old bill and see if we can get an account number. But
I'll let you
know by tomorrow, Micah, if I have one. Okay,
Mr. President, Diane.
Okay, Di.
I wouldn't worry about having to change the number if we have to do that, because
it can always be
reposted on the website. We do have a website, so
that's right.
It can be changed.
I agree 100%.
Ron.
Okay, Corey, and then we're going to move on.
If Michael can get on the FCC's website right now, we'll be able to track that number if he's able to get on the FCC's website right now and tell us the history of it, if he can right now.
He's investigating that. So I'm going to let him do his magic. I'm going to let Pam do hers. Micah can do hers. Okay. And I'll just probably go stick my head in a closet and close the door. No, we have people working on it on every front, and I am going to still reach out to David Jones. So some of us, between all of that, some of us ought to come up with something.
All right.
So let's move on now from old. Is there any other old business? Thanks, Lee, for that. Any other old business? All right. Is there any new business? I have a piece, Micah.
I was actually just going to ask what the plan or protocol is for the Zoom room that we have. Mostly, I just don't want poor Michael to have to go to every single one of our meetings, and so I'm wondering if the host information can be shared and others of us can host rooms.
Yes, it can.
Unless you want to go to every single meeting, Michael? I don't know.
No. Michael can. What you have to do, though, guys, is if you want to, this Zoom meeting call thingy is ours as a state affiliate. So if a chapter wants to use it, they have to put in a request to use it. So you need to ask me or talk to Mike, because of the fact that if one of you all are on it, the others can't use it
right
at that time. So if you're hosting, so you got to kind of give us a schedule of who wants it at that time. And that's all we're asking, myself or Mike Law. And if you do that, because I have given him
authorization.
Authorization to be our webmaster for our Zoom account and our website and all of that. So it's under his purview. However, if you can't get him and want to use it, let me know or let him know, and we'll go from there. It's our account. Parents Division want to use it. Chapters want to use it. State affiliate, anybody. And that brings me to my new business, and that is the state affiliate is having state convention calls. And they're probably biweekly, look like it's going to be, from our first vice president. And what these calls are doing now that the COVID-19 is in place, we're going to have different Zoom calls about different topics. So the first call was about how's everybody doing, and just a support call. But as you guys have been inundated with your emails, you see all kind of calls. They're having calls on philosophy. They're having calls on cooking. They're having calls on Zoom for everything. We're not going to try to go there, but we are going to try to use our account as much as possible. We can use it as a recruiting tool. We can use it for other things. Our first vice president, Pam, has asked for topics that you guys might want to discuss. And I'm going to turn it over to her now to see what she's got up and coming for, what is it, next week or the end of the month?
Next week we're going to have Michael come on and talk about doing the Instacart. And then maybe I'm going to see if Tammy will do one on coupons, because she's really good at coupons. So those are a couple topics, but I'd be open to anything, guys. So let us know.
Okay, so we have a resource list too that Bosma put out, I'm told, that has all kinds of resources about people delivering food for delivery. People doing all kinds of stuff. We have a resource list. I think we need to share that. I seen a post from Barb Price about ISVE doing something for ISVE students and probably faculty, and I don't know if they're doing it for alumni or not, but so we need to share those kind of things and go from there. But we need topics. Pam has a list of the different topics that people came up with on the first call. I know somebody wanted to do one on Newsline, and how to use and access it with Alexa. Somebody wanted to do, we could have first responders come on and talk about, what to do in given situations. We can talk about any of those. We can hear from legislators who, this is the time to take advantage of the people that we generally can't get. They're willing to make a phone call because they don't have to leave the comforts of their own home.
Yeah. I was actually going to have my daughter, the nurse, talk about this COVID-19, too, if we wanted that. So.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Corey, I love you. Sticking.
Yeah, I would, because here, the care packages that the School for Blind are doing, I got a big question because I'm hearing two different things. One, Barb and I received two of them, actually, and we donated the one. But somebody, I think it was you, Micah, or I don't know who it was. Somebody posted that, I think it was Micah, that that the care packages for the food are just for the students and staff. So I don't know exactly, but I assume that they're doing it for the public, not just for students and staff.
It's not for the public. I've actually been in contact with the social workers there. I mean, I suspect that if somebody was an alumni and they needed something, they could reach out to the school. But generally it's the students and they haven't, it's on Tuesdays and it's the students from 1 to 2 and any staff, from 2 to 3 or school volunteers. So, you know, again, if you're an alumnus and you want to utilize the resource, that's probably an option for you, but they're not advertising it that way. And it's certainly not a public thing.
Right.
I think there are other more useful resources, you know, if we're trying to pass resource information to people. I think there's some better options.
Yeah, Micah, the option that Bosma has that James Michael sent out to yesterday with the care, some kind of care package that they're sending out to any blind or visually impaired person. Do you know much about that one?
Yeah, so I'm not aware of the email that James sent out, but what we're doing is we're conducting a needs assessment. And so at this point, it's Bosma clients and former clients. Though, you know, again, it's one of those, if you're in the blind community and you need some assistance, to go ahead and reach out for that. But we're doing a needs assessment to see where everybody's at and what they need. And then we're going to determine if and how we can offer help. The folks that are heading up the assessment are pretty adamant that nothing is guaranteed to anybody. And, you know, the priority will be given based on the, you know, some quantitative data and the needs assessments and things that we have. So, The advice that I would give to people is if you are in need of something and you think Bosma can help, reach out, and they'll put you through the same needs assessment process. That's not a fast process. If people have needs that are occurring right this second and that are immediate, you know, use your network of blind folks. Let us know here. Let the state board know, let your local chapter know. We can try to, you know, like Pam said, we can provide some resources and things on the state phone calls. But Bosma is not just sending out like care packages to everybody.
Yeah, I asked that question too, James Michaels, because the need assessment is for the 1,200 clients that they've had over the last 5 years. Now, the care packet itself is for people that are blind people that are coping with food insecurities at this point in time. And it's open not only to former clients of Bosma, but to the blind community as a whole. So I'm looking for some more information from him on that. And
yeah, I think
once I get it, I can post it or something.
Yeah, that,
or
that
if you can
probably,
get it, you can post it.
I'm sorry, Lee. I don't mean to keep cutting you off.
No, that's
I mean, yeah, I think that would probably be a good route. I think that there's some different lines of communication going on in terms of what I may know and what information that may be getting posted out. So I don't want to say the wrong thing. Again, I think that if people are in the blind community and they are in need of help, feel free to reach out to Bosma. But from what I know right now, it's not an immediate thing that they're going to be able to help you with. So if you have an immediate need, maybe we can help each other a little bit more effectively.
Ron.
Pam.
Corey. And Pam.
Somebody's sharing their screen also, I think.
Corey.
What? Okay.
Did you say something? Who asked?
Yeah. Okay. there is a podcast on SoundCloud that Ray Montgomery did with Kurt and James that might answer these questions. If you go to SoundCloud, type in Bosma or Navigating Blindness, you'll be able to listen to the podcast that Ray did. I listened to it last night for, I don't know, an hour or half hour or whatever. But that could be a resource that you guys can use. There are phone numbers on there that he said for different topics and stuff. So I encourage you guys to go to that, and take a listen to it, and that might answer everybody's questions. SoundCloud Navigating Blindness, Kurt and James. Thank you.
Lee, can you pass along that information that James emailed out?
Yeah.
I mean, if Bosma is offering immediate care packages to people, and I am providing the wrong information, I want to correct that on my end. That's not the information that I had.
Yeah, because he sent that over to Ron and I yesterday.
Yeah.
And I had some questions because it was kind of, kind of shadow on how you would go about applying for it. It didn't give all that information. I'm waiting on a reply from him on that, but I will send over to you what he sent us.
Yeah, that would be super helpful because I think, I am on the team that's doing these needs assessments, and it's what I will say is just it's not an immediate thing. If somebody has some immediate needs, Bosma may be a resource and they may be able to do something relatively quickly, but if we can help each other a little bit quicker than that, then that might be a better thing for somebody who's desperately in need now.
Well, you guys are talking about immediate need. I saw on TV today, if someone needs food immediately, call the Salvation Army and they will arrange it. So, I mean, they said it's an immediate, for people that are in immediate need, call the Salvation Army. It will help.
Excellent.
Ron.
Corey.
Also, there is a grant from somebody that James said that if they need aids, like, I don't know what type of aid, but there is a grant that would provide those aids for people that need those aids for throughout this crisis or whatever as well, just because it was on the podcast. So listen to the podcast. You'll find more information than what you probably really want to know.
Alrighty. All right. Is there any other new business? Any other new business? We will go ahead and probably, let me ask you guys a question. We have our next state board call or meeting, depending on which, in July. Do you guys want to have our state board meeting before the convention or after, board members?
Corey, I would say after.
I would do it after so we get an idea of how the virtual thing went and what we can prepare for if we have to do a virtual for state. That's my
excellent. Okay. Is that a general consensus from the there. Board?
Works for me.
Okay. Lee?
That's fine with me.
And Tammy? And Florence?
I'm good.
Okay. All right. So we'll have our next state board position meeting. We'll have that after the virtual national convention.
18.
So is there any other business?
Ron.
Corey?
Sorry. Do you know anything about the red box testing? I know the deadline is April 30th, but due to this corona crap, is National extending the deadline for that? Because I was going to do it. Me, Tavia, and Mike.
You know, Corey, they haven't even mentioned it, not to, to the board all at all. And I'm pretty sure they still want people to do it. But, to be truthful, some people are leery about accessing, the machines and stuff. I mean, take a wet wipe or something, wash it down and use it. I guess you can probably do that. But they haven't even mentioned the red box testing since they put that out and since we joined up to be part of the testers. Also, Pam, Corey had sent me his suggestion about doing sports for one of our topics, and so we may have to get these guys like Daniel Belding up to talk about hockey and Booker to talk about baseball and any other person to talk about goalball or anything, but he wanted sports
or hobbies
to be a topic.
In general.
Or hobbies in general, he says. So you might want to put that down. Is there any other business?
Micah, one quick thing.
Micah?
Okay. I'm doing everything I can to figure out this bill situation with Chase. If I can't, as a last resort, I'm asking for the board's approval to temporarily transfer all of the money in the account to the Newsline account and then move it back, because then AT can't take our money.
No.
I mean, I'm not, don't get me wrong, like, I will try to find another way, but, like, I'm looking all through the website here, and I don't
have a way. I'm not for transferring all of our money, Micah, but I am
am for setting up I am for you maybe transferring our phone number to your or my phone number or your phone number, and then we just shut this one off and like I think Joey mentioned, just send it to a Sprint number and call it a day.
No, that's fine. I said that half jokingly just to say that I'm going through the online app and I'm going through the website and I'm not seeing a way to do it. So the next thing I will do is call Chase.
I think Pam might be right. We might have got slammed and be sending money to Nigeria somewhere.
Damn.
I don't know.
Well, we're paying AT&T because they have our phone. Like our phone service is working. So they're just charging us way more than they need to.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
Who was asking for the floor?
Diane.
Di. Okay, Di.
I just have a quick question that's come to mind while we've been discussing Newsline and other things today. I'm just asking for clarification, that's all. My understanding, the last time we met and I requested to be able to start a scholarship fund, I was told that we couldn't do that. We couldn't have multiple accounts. So if that's the case, then how can we have a Newsline account?
That's a good question. Here's what I found out, Dad, because I did research that and check that and talk to our president about it and talk to Bridget Burke about it. And one of the things that has changed is that we can actually set up a separate account now for that. Bridget Burke gave me the green light on that. But one of the things that she said was that we can do it. Generally, they don't, they want us to put it in our general fund and just earmark stuff. But if people want to do that, like a vehicle donation account or whatever, she said it's nightmarish for treasurers to try to keep up with these separate accounts. But because everything now has to be coded. And so every transaction, everything. So say, for example, you set up an account, then you have to have somebody to send those codes in to national office because they need to know what those transactions are. So for example, like Lee with the Newsline account, he has to send his transactions in to Bridget Burke and plus, I don't know if you get a copy of that or not, Mike. I believe you do, but I'll let you speak to that. Lee, you want to talk about what you do for that account?
Yes, with that account, every penny that is spent is coded and is sent actually to Nicholas Lambright, and they monitor every penny. And then with the coding list, it's a very extensive list of codings or codes that the National Federation of the Blind use for almost any and everything. So I was really impressed with that list. But I do code every quarter. So they like you to code every month, but our transactions aren't that extensive. So we code every quarter, and I send that code over to Nicholas Lambright and also to President Brown. He gets an email copy of that as well.
Yes.
It's the same with the state treasurer. Like the state treasury, we do all of the codes. It's done each month, and then it's sent at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So what she was saying, and so when Pam let us know that we couldn't do that, that's the way it used to be. Things have changed at the national headquarters. They want you to account for everything we do pretty much in the affiliate now. There's accountability for everything. Everything has to be coded, every transaction. That's why, when we do stuff, we either have, like I'll call Mike or send her an email, say this need to be paid or that, and then that way she'll have a paper trail of it, and that way she can code it properly, because a lot of times Nick will call back and say, this was paid, but I don't know who it was paid to or what it was paid for, and then they'll get upset, with me because, I sent over an invoice and didn't tell what it was for. That kind of thing.
And they haven't got mad at anything in 2019.
Yes, right. That's right.
Is that right?
That's right. We've been on top of it. And so we want to stay on top of it now.
I am a hot mess, but I did that right.
Yeah, we can create these other accounts, guys. But the way she was saying, like, go ahead and do it at your own apparel, you know, so there we go.
Mr. President, Joe, I don't see there being hardly any transactions out of a account like that, though, except for right at convention time when the, you know, hotel bills have to be paid for and the scholarships are given out. The only thing is, you know, if we had a fund, a account just for scholarships, you know, if we get donations for scholarships, it can go directly into that account. And then that can be determining how much money we get for scholarships out here.
Absolutely. Same thing could happen, too, if we earmark it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it's, you know, whatever people want to do. I mean, this board is the governing body of this organization. So anybody wanting to do that, or you guys want to, you know, make that happen, we can make it happen. Not a problem.
Our deposits aren't coded, right? I mean, if somebody deposits something in there, you don't have to report that.
Yes.
Yes, you do.
Every transaction.
So if somebody start making giving us money for that account, Di, you got to be able to keep up with it. Every transaction, everything you spend, all of that has to be covered now.
Mr. President, this is Jim.
Jim, hey.
Not only that, though, too, but if you open up another account, then there's another $2 a month you got to pay out in bank service charges for a paper report.
Oh,
don't
yeah.
you? Wouldn't you?
Ron,
you can do it online, but I always keep a paper report just for IRS
right,
cases never get audited.
Well, I just wondered about that. I mean, you know, it was just a question.
Oh, no, it's a good question. Who was thinking?
It was Corey, but I had Pam just did my idea. We could do an online, but it won't charge. But if we need a paper trail, then we're gonna have to spend $2 just
for whatever it's worth. I'm happy to go either way. If we want to set up another account with Chase, we can. I don't know what difference that makes, rather than just like me keeping a spreadsheet and saying, okay, we've got this much in the scholarship bucket. But if it's easier for people to know that it's this particular fund and to have people write checks to that separate fund and stuff. Joe's right. It isn't that big of a deal in terms of accounting, because there won't be deposits or withdrawals except for, you know, in October. So,
yeah. And Di, and it's also easy for us when we ask to say, you know, hey, would you be willing to donate for our scholarship fund to help blind kids go through school and stuff like that? It all depends on how you position the message. And when you position the message that way and they say, yeah, I want this to go to scholarships. And then we tell Michael, this is specifically for scholarship. Man,
we
got one person coding. You'll have more money. That's right. And those guys who would like to do that, I mean, or set up another account and stuff, I mean, you know, just know that you'll have to keep trying.
My reason for suggesting that in the first place was just so that maybe we could organize fundraisers that would go specifically to scholarship. We could raise more money because we really don't have. I'm really concerned about the amount of scholarships that we're giving. I mean, if we have more than one applicant that we want to give to, they're really not getting much.
Yeah.
I mean,
the only reason why we're giving so little is because we have so little. So one of the things that we need to do is we need everybody on this call to participate in fundraising as much as possible. The more we have, the more we can give. The other thing is, too, is that it is no reason in the world why none of us, through our messaging, can't say, you know, hey, guys, can you, you know, if you want to talk about giving money for children's education, that's a biggie. And if parents want to get together with Di and come up with a plan for raising money and doing a fundraising event specifically for scholarship, there's nothing in our Constitution that says you cannot do that. You can earmark events for anything you want them for, you know, other than, you know, stuff that is unbecoming of a Federationist. Now, that you can't do. But other than that, you know, if you want to have a scholarship fundraising drive, you can do it. If we want to raise money for merchants, we can do it. But our merchants division, if we want to have a fundraiser, just a general fundraiser to put money in the affiliate. I will also tell you guys, though, if you start raising lots of money, like over $5,000 or so, you're either going to have to do one or two things. You're going to have to either give part of that to the state and then let the state gift it back to you, or if we get a $50,000 donation for scholarships, you're going to have to give that to the state. The state's going to have to give some of that to national, and then we're going to gift it back to you. And you can't keep that much money in your coffers. You cannot. Cannot. So,
Ron.
So keep that in mind. But nevertheless, we can raise money.
Ron.
Corey.
While we're talking about money, you brought up a good point, not to be on the sad subject, but when people pass away, in order to make a donation to the state of Indiana, you have to put NFB of Indiana, not NFB, because you put NFB, it's going to go national. Just since we're on the topic of money, I figured I...
That's a very good point, Corey, and thank you for reminding me of that. I said it on our call. Our first support call to all the members. I'll say it on this state board meeting for the record that if you do want to leave money to the National Federation of the Blind of Indiana, you have to make sure you put National Federation of the Blind of Indiana in your will, in your insurance policy, in your bequests. You have to do that, because if you don't, like Corey said, it'll go straight to nationals, and nationals is kind of stingy. They don't want to give any back to us, although if we get a lot, we have to share with them. And so that's what we're going to do, because that's protocol in our organization. So if you guys are, I hope nobody checks out soon, but if you are thinking about checking out and want to leave us some money, then please make sure you say National Federation of the Blind of Indiana in your wills and in your bequests. That would be helpful. I'll just say Frank Ricks left the organization some money, and I mean, Frank, he was pretty giving. He was so giving that he didn't leave his any money to bury him with. He gave it all to nationals, and we ended up having to do a trustee's burial for him because his family didn't have it. So, and the money has not been claimed yet by nationals, but they're working on it. But again, that's why this thing came up, is because of the way he left it.
We did the nationals did provide the funds to do the final expenses, right?
No.
Mm-mm.
Wow.
Nope.
Well,
nope.
They hadn't got it yet. They didn't even know they were getting it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Well, Frank's
I'm just trying to make sure Nationals did the right thing, you know, because...
Well, it hasn't been done yet. And so Frank's cousin, full disclosure, Frank's cousin had called me and told me that Frank was leaving the National Federation of Blind some money, and we wanted to know how this money is to be sent. And the insurance company wanted to know, you know, who to send the money to. And so it was left to the National Federation of the Blind. Well, you know, the National Federation of the Blind then had to, Bridget Burke and I was working on it, and so they had to figure out to get all the paperwork in, a death certificate and whole nine, and in order to act on the claim. And so it hasn't been procured yet, but we don't know how much it is. We don't know anything. And then his cousin told me that, well, he didn't leave any money to bury him. And so I said, what? And he didn't leave any money to bury him. And so they didn't really have it, and they were going to try to get him cremated and that kind of thing. And I don't think he has a headstone or any of that stuff. And so So what he ended up doing is they went through, not me, that not the organization, his family went through the trustee's office, and they did a burial. And still haven't had access to that money yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. President Brown, if I can inject just on that history there,
for many of us that have not made a burial arrangement, please try to make your arrangements, because, you know, we're all going to expire. And I've seen it so much even this week, where the burden has been placed upon the family. So, you know, if you can do that, you know, just to get your burial insurance plan, or instead of just a life insurance plan, think about your family and your burial expenses, because they're very expensive.
Yeah.
Corey.
When we buried Carrie's dad, it was nearly, you guys, about $14,000. So give or take. So, you know, just to give you guys an idea of how much it's going to cost. So it wasn't cheap. That's for darn sure.
Yeah, cremation's a lot cheaper.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of people do cremation these days.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a hard topic to talk about a lot of times, but, you know, we all got to meet that date. And so, just in retrospect, make sure you handle your business. If you want to leave the National Federation of the Blind of Indiana, something in your wills or bequests or insurance policies or what have you, make sure you spell it out, because it's been that way for a long, long time, Pam, and a lot of you guys know that we've had this policy forever. So it's nothing new. It's not nothing new that if you just say the National Federation of the Blind, it's going straight to national. So questions,
what
comments?
Is that program, what is that program called? When you do that, there's a name for that program with the National Federation of the Blind.
The Dreammaker Circle.
Okay.
Oh, so, yeah. The Dreammaker Circle is the new one now. You can leave it to Sun. It's, you know, that goes into monies that can be left in there to help fund our movement after you expire. But the Dreammaker Circle, yes, it's a new thing now. Patty Chang heads that up. If you want to talk to her more about that, you can. So, yeah. Any other business?
Only one other thing that I would like to say is that there was I don't know the name of the job title. When individuals work at the blind school and they take care of the students that stay overnight or students that stay there, what's that name of that, the title of the person that does that?
Residential
mentor.
Okay, so there was a residential employee there that recently passed away. Matter of fact, her services are today, and I don't know if you guys know. Her name is Miss Toni Martin. I'm not related to her, but she did work out there for a number of years, and her services are today. So any of you that know of her, I just thought I'd let you know, FYI, that her services are today.
Really?
Okay. Keep her in our prayers. And we have a lot of other federationists that have died, too, as well, guys. That we need to remember. We've been had a whole list of them coming from different states that are passing away due to this coronavirus. So let's just, you know, be mindful of them. And this too shall pass. So on that note, is there any other business?
Move for adjournment.
Move for adjournment. Is there a second?
I second.
Go ahead, Micah.
Seconded by Micah. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thanks, guys. We will talk to you probably before July, but we'll get more information out to you as it comes in on our national convention. It should be a doozy, but look forward to that information coming out, and I appreciate everybody being on the call today.